I'd like to call this Council and Budget Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
Thank you. There are no announcements, no addenda. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, before I hand over the chair to Councillor Zanko, who is the chair of the Finance Committee, I just want to make a few comments about the budget and where we are and where we've been. In terms of the material that's before us this evening, this of course is or represents a significant amount of work by the staff in terms of putting together recommendations for us to consider regarding the expenditures tonight with respect to the operating budgets in during previous meetings with respect to capital, water and sewer and so forth. And what the staff does is try to put forth recommendations that best reflect what they believe to be in the best long-term interest of the community. And the councillors have a responsibility to take that advice and then take into account what we hear in our role as representatives of the residents of the community, so that sometimes we agree with recommendations and sometimes we don't, and sometimes there's a compromise with respect to recommendations. That's part of the budget process. That's the way it's always been. Presumably that's the way it always will be. And everyone performs their job. The staff gives us their professional advice and we act as the buffer for the residents of the community and pass the recommendations either as presented or as amended or reject them as we feel half of the community. So this year, we have had the benefit now of being the council for over a year. Last year's budget, to a great extent, was a transitional budget from the previous council to the current council. And many of the items that were contained in that budget were commitments that had been made by a previous council, and we quite properly approved those and moved forward. We adopted some of our own initiatives, and those somewhat reflected what we eventually came to adopt as our strategic plan going forward in terms of growth and prosperity, in terms of sustainable infrastructure, and in terms of customer service and customer relations. This year, we have a bit better opportunity to start molding a budget that is clearly reflective of what our priorities are. Excuse me. And I believe staff has tried to put forward recommendations that reflect what the strategic plan is for the community. So having said that, Councillor Zanko, that's just a bit of a perspective from my seat here on the council chambers. I'm very interested in hearing what questions may arise with respect to some of the recommendations. I have some of my own thoughts, but I know all of you will have thoughts and questions regarding the recommendations. And so the other thing that I did want to make sure that everyone is clear on is we do not get bonus points for speed, and we do not get bonus points for completing a task ahead of time. We have, as you all know, next Wednesday that's been set aside, if we have to go to next Wednesday. The budget itself will not be finally approved until February the 22nd. So we don't have to feel that we're pressured. So if anyone is feeling that they need more time to digest what comes out of this evening's discussion or presentation, all you need to do is speak up. Personally, I think that we just need to make sure that we allocate appropriate time to make sure that we get this budget right, because it's the budget that we will then be operating on for the next 12 months, or I guess 11 and a half months. But it needs to be something that we can build on as we go through the final 2 years then of our mandate. So Councillor Zanko, I'm pleased to hand this over to you now and let you do the talking.
Thank you, Your Worship. First of all, I also want to thank staff for their hard work and their effort. There was a tremendous amount of work that went into this budget, and I think it's fair to speak on behalf of my colleagues. We truly appreciate all the information that you've provided and the work that you've put in. I think what we're going to do, for the sake of the audience and the listeners, what I'd like to do is put the first report on the floor, CBC 06-2016, and then we'll ask Mr. Jansen to do his presentation. That will also allow us to go through each section of the budget, and then of course we'll move forward with putting the general levy operating budget on the floor for further deliberation. So can I get a mover for report number CBC 06-2016, analysis of the 2015 assessment for the 2016 taxation year? Councillor Butler, are there any questions or comments with regard to this report? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. Mr. Jansen, I am going to pass the floor over to you.
Thank you. The general levy budget, or the operating budget for 2016 tonight, is the last budget we approve of the 2016 process. And for an overview of tonight's presentation, we have a listing here of what we'll be looking at. We'll look at the timetable, which you're now familiar with. We'll look at back at some of the accomplishments of 2015. We'll look at both the base budget items and how the MPAC assessment values affect the budget next year. We will highlight the supplementary budget items that are in your report and in your budget packages, and put some context to each of those submissions, and include some risks and opportunities that relate to this year's budget, and then break for questions as we've noted. So this just follows our regular update of the timetable. Tonight is both the general levy and the assessment analysis report that you received. And of course, next Wednesday, as already mentioned, is available to us to meet again. And the scheduled date for the bylaws related both to the general levy and the second of two capital budget bylaws is scheduled for February 22nd. In terms of the guidance that has been put forward for the 2016 budget, the budget guidance report came to council back in September, and it included some of the highlights of the year-over-year changes, some of which you'll again see in this report, as well as it did reference to one of the primary Canadian indexes and noted 1.5% for controllable costs. The Corporate Services Subcommittee also discussed the budget process at a meeting this fall. And there they targeted a maximum increase for the total tax bill of 3 to 3.5%. And as well, as noted earlier as well, the current strategic plan was approved in June, and we will definitely see more impacts of that in the 2016 budget and moving forward as items are identified. This is 10,000 feet a view of the three budgets we've looked at, and wrapping up tonight with the general levy operations. You can see the total of the three combined is $58 million in proposed budgets. It includes the water and wastewater operations, the capital allocations, as well as the general levy operating. The town collects taxes for its services, but also for the region and for the province for education. We bill our taxes quarterly in four installments. And here you can see in the graph the breakdown. Overall, the region and education tax represent approximately 60% of the tax bill, while the town is 40% of the total tax bill. And for this year, property is assessed in terms of our 2015 comparison, the median that we used as our benchmark for the coming year was property assessed at $179,715, which attracted a total tax bill of $2,668, of which $1,119 stays with the town. So that proportion is in keeping with this general breakdown here. This slide also just shows at a glance some of the primary services that both the town, that distinguish between the town and the region. Further background in terms of the tax calculation, this is a slide that simply shows that tonight what we'll be looking at is the numerator of the top equation. So the town's general levy operations once that is approved, that is divided by the town's total assessment that we receive from MPAC, and to come up with a total tax rate or a town tax rate. And then the each property owner's tax bill is a function then of that tax rate times their own personal property assessments. For example, for last year, the budget on the top line there would have been just over $23 million, which would have been divided by a weighted assessment of approximately $3.7 billion to come up with a tax rate to apply to all residential property owners. Some context in terms of how Fort Erie fits in with its levy in the broader Niagara area. For this, we look to a provincial study that's done by BMA, Management Consulting, and this municipal study compares like properties against 95 other municipalities across Ontario. So in the case of a detached bungalow, this is the metric we primarily look to compare on. And you can see at the bottom that the average property taxes for our group of Niagara-Hamilton is $3,273, of which Fort Erie for 2015 was the lowest of the 13 Niagara municipalities at $2,915. The study also does look at some other main classes, most of which Fort Erie is below the average, including two-story, commercial, and large industrial. This graph just goes on to demonstrate, relatively speaking, how Fort Erie compares with the Niagara-Hamilton group being at the far left or the lowest of the 13 municipalities or the 12 municipalities. We want to do a bit of a high-level review of 2015 to look back. So the new corporate strategic plan was approved June 15th and was presented in three primary areas, both a prosperous and growing community, effective sustainable infrastructure, and strong customer service relationships and communications. And council members have each chosen an area to champion and will be moving each pillar forward throughout the term of council. And so to highlight some in each area for 2015, under a prosperous and growing community, we've noted here the industrial land study that was undertaken to identify some long-term needs for development. The town provided assistance with some major community development projects, such as the Canadian Motor Speedway and Miller Creek Marina. The Bay Beach Master Plan was approved, and work has begun as well on the waterfront strategy. The Community Improvement Program, or CIPs, and the related financial incentives attracted great interest for our downtown core areas and has expanded to Stevensville as well. Community Development Services analyzed and created some process improvements for development and permit processes. As well, construction began on two new schools in the town. Under the infrastructure pillar, the town targeted some significant infrastructure funding submissions for key projects, such as the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund for road resurfacing, Building Canada Fund for the CMS project on Bowen Road, as well have submitted and is being considered with 16 for the Ontario Municipal Cycling Infrastructure Program. The $12 million capital program in 15 included Crescent Park storm drainage on Daytona Drive. Worth noting, of course, is the $400,000 that was increased for capital reserve contributions through the 2015 budget deliberations. Work has begun, and the region is working on the Central Avenue Bridge replacement. There was analysis of the Emerald Ash Borer tree impacts, as well as an audit of all bus stops and shelters. And lastly, under strong customer service relationships and communications, we did, of course, hire our communications coordinator, have used surveys, in particular for the strategic plan to get valuable input. The organizational review began in September and is nearing completion. There was a volunteer recognition event that was quite successful. There were mutual aid agreements created for emergency protocols. The town's non-union salaries were reviewed, and financial performance was monitored through a successful audit and ongoing variance analysis. And for a review of 2015 financial performance, this is still underway. The review will continue throughout, particularly January, with final payments and adjustments being made this month. The town has controlled costs and maximized some key non-tax revenue areas, and is projecting a surplus. However, on the water and wastewater operations side, particularly in relation to rate revenue challenges, we're reporting a deficit for 2015. And all this is wrapped up with an audit in April, which is presented to the audit committee in May, and the annual report along with any surplus or deficit funding allocations are done at that time. Moving now to the 2016 base budget. We first look at the base budget components. These are all revenues or expenditures that are approved in previous budget deliberations. The levy is driven by the cost of base service delivery, that is, those base services that the town currently delivers and expects to continue. The town, of course, through its levy as well, provides for asset maintenance. The capital budget provides for cost for replacement or betterment of assets, but the ongoing costs of maintenance are provided through the operating budget. It includes administrative and overhead costs. And before we determine a tax rate, we net those costs against those costs, any other non-tax revenues, and the balance remaining is the tax levy that's extrapolated to the taxpayers. So for the base budget, this is the Appendix 1 in report number CBC07. The overall base budget is 0.3% decrease over 2015. This is less than the 0.38% increase that was forecasted through the budget guidance report. The decrease is due largely from an increase in non-tax revenues and decreases in one-time 2015 items. You'll also note in the report, Appendix 3 shows the consolidated impacts by department for each revenue and expense area. As well, the details of each department are in tab 7 of your binder. To highlight some of the base revenue changes, there is a net increase in non-tax revenues of $344,000. Tax revenues are decreasing primarily due to increases in tax write-offs and vacancy rebates, as well as an increase to permit and planning fee revenues, offset somewhat by declines in projected facility rentals. Provincial policy does impact some areas, in particular with this budget, the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund, or OMPF, has increased by $403,000. This will be touched on later in the risk section, but it is important to note with that one that it is not considered stable funding. For expenses, there's a total increase of $650,927 in expenses. The impacts from capital improvements that were approved through the capital budget have been included here and are approximately $27,000. The changes in existing debt are relatively small, and impacts of new debt related to the LED streetlight replacement program won't be fully realized until 2017 once the program is done this year and debentured. Wages and benefits are set to increase $384,000 and include the effects of all non-union and collective bargaining rate increases and benefit increases. Overall insurance is decreasing due to the expiry of a supplemental assessment that the levy has been carrying for the past 5 years, which was mitigated in part through use of some operating reserves. As well as grants are overall decreasing, which relate primarily to the way the funding of one-time items from 2015. The EDTC and Library, of course, submitted their budget requests on January 13, and included in the base is their submitted request of approximately $37,000. Bridge inspections are done biannually and were budgeted in 2015, so are being reduced. However, these are being replaced with an annual reserve contribution just to smooth that expense for each year going forward. So we reduced that cost in 16 for approximately half of the amount to fund that. Planning is budgeting $32,000 for consulting costs related to primarily industrial environmental conservation overlays. And all other operating costs have a total increase of $430,000. This includes materials, supplies, street lighting, and utilities. In addition to the base budget changes, we also eliminate anything that was approved during last year's budget that was one-time in nature. And that total is that $391,000. This includes items such as the by-election, Communities in Bloom, the organizational review, and the net amount decrease of the racetrack grant. So when these components are combined, the total impact on the base budget is a decrease of $84,700, which represents 0.37%. This isn't adjusted for the assessment growth, but we'll look at that coming up. The next couple of slides follow the impacts of the change in assessment year over year. So this is follows the information contained in the earlier report that was approved, CVC 06. This is determined by MPAC. And it impacts the levy in primarily in two ways. One is through assessment growth, which happens every year. These are the annual benefits taxpayers get from added or new development in the town and reduces the tax burden on existing taxpayers. And the impact of that for 2016 is a reduction of 0.25% or 0.25% for the taxpayers. The second part is reassessment shifts. 2016 is the final year of MPAC's four-year assessment cycle. And any decrease in the case of a reassessment is done immediately in the first year, and any increases that the taxpayers receive every 4 years are phased in over 4 years. So next year in particular, we note with 2017, that will be the introduction of the next four-year reassessment that will have the potential to impact taxpayers in various ways. And the average residential phase-in for 2016 is 1.18%. Just a brief example here to say that In simple terms, if your assessment is increasing for 2016 by more than 1.18%, then your taxes will increase less than the amounts that are approved for the budget. And if your assessment is going up less than that, then if your assessment increases more than that average, then your taxes will also increase more. So this is just a table that's then updated to show the effects of the assessment impact, that 0.25% for a total net of assessment decrease in the base of 0.62%. This is the amount at the bottom of column 2 in appendix 1. This then takes that column and moves it into viewing what the impact is for the median household. We find this to be the most meaningful way to summarize the changes in the budget year over year. So the median household, which in effect means that half of the households in Fort Erie are at or below this amount and half are above, is $181,835. So this shows then at the bottom of the middle column there the total decrease of 0.67%, which is equivalent to $1.48 over 2015, a reduction per month, of $1.48. The two right-hand columns are a result of the fact that the province has yet to release their education amount, but we would expect that, similar to last year where they were delayed beyond what they would normally release it as. We would expect that based on previous years to drive that even lower. So even when we look at the final numbers tonight, we would expect that the education adjustment could potentially reduce the town's year-over-year increase by anywhere from 30 to 40 basis points or 0.3 or 4%. So that's it for the 2016 base budget. We now move into the supplementary items. And these are the items that are listed in Appendix 2 of the report. Supplementary budget items are those that are discretionary budget for enhanced services beyond the base level of service and includes one-time projects and new services. So each one of these you will as well have received in your budget package with a form to document a description and as well the benefits for each one. These are in tab 8 of your binder. And these are the items that we separate out later, so individually these items can be reviewed and voted on. The first two, part 1 and 2 here, are items that have been subject of a previous report or resolution to council, both ones that are ongoing or, again, adding to the base in nature and those that are one-time. And then in parts 3 and 4, those are new requests that wouldn't have come to council previously, again, both having an ongoing impact or a one-time impact. So for part 1, the total of all ongoing items that are subject of a previous report or resolution are $1.13 million. The bulk of which is the capital reserve contribution that council is familiar with respect to the strategy to begin addressing and decreasing the infrastructure gap. The $600,000 is $500,000, as well as $100,000 from a prior reduction in past years. And there's also a line for $200,000. The sum of both of those lines would then be the total of all amounts intended or forecast to be collected or increased when the strategy was first brought forward. The $30,000 CIP increase follows the October report that recommended additional amounts be considered for the budget for 2016. The report on the Emerald Ash Borer effects was presented in August, and $200,000 has been recommended for tree removal, as well as $40,000 for related tree planting. An increase of $50,000 for volunteer firefighter training was part of a presentation to council in November. And lastly, a provision for Canada Day fireworks was requested to be considered back in June. Part 2 includes $430,000 in one-time amounts. There's two items here. That's the second of two parts requested by Habitat for Humanity. They've submitted a letter requesting the remaining amounts that weren't approved back at the August meeting. As well, the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund increase of $403,000 that we noted earlier cannot be relied upon for future years, so a one-time increase to the 2016 road resurfacing program is recommended for that whole increase. Part 3 includes $87,000 in base funding requests for wages, both for the roads crews to convert some part-time employees potentially to full-time, as well as about approximately $26,000 for a park's winter casual to create capacity for arboricultural demands, if I said that right. And lastly, part 4, $212,000 in one-time items. This includes $35,000 to replenish the reserve for the physician recruitment program, $15,000 for an operational review of the fire department, $100,000 to contribute to expanding the cycle route on Niagara Boulevard, in cooperation with a project with the Niagara Parks Commission. Approximately $56,000 to assist in funding the Battle of Ridgeway 150th anniversary event, as well as a specific request from Women's Place of South Niagara for $5,000 to assist with their services, and a small amount of approximately $1,500 for Ridgeway BIA for a tree pit irrigation initiative. The total of all of these supplementary items as presented is $1.86 million, or 7.99% of the total general levy. This 7.99% combined with the 0.85% base decrease would result in the 7.14% at the bottom of the table on the right side. This graph is a historical comparison of town increase to gain some familiarity with where we've been in recent years with increases. The amount on the far left side, the 2016 group of bar graphs there, includes all supplementary, so you can see at the most what's being presented, how that would impact the total tax bill. And you can see the black shaded area represents that 2.69%. It's just below 3% there. And this is the final summary in terms of what's been presented. This table summarizes the total tax bill with all supplementary amounts. And there you'll see the total for the median household of 2.69% year over year. I highlight some risks and opportunities that are associated with this budget. First with some risks, the OMPF funding, as noted earlier, has increased significantly, but due to the way that the province administers it, the amount isn't stable and it's not guaranteed for future years, so it's important to be cautious with the use of this funding, which is why it's being recommended for one-time use. Several large assessment appeals are still outstanding as MPAC continues to process requests from many years ago as well. Most of the residential appeals from the 2012 reassessment have been processed, but there still do remain some large commercial industrial appeals that may impact the future assessment base. The presentation tonight does include the region's levy changes as approved. However, there are some tax policy decisions still outstanding. Regional staff aren't proposing any changes, but the tax ratios that they do set do determine how the taxes are distributed across property classes. As noted earlier, with the Emerald Ash Borer devastation, it's expected to continue and to grow in terms of its impact on our 40 Erie trees, and the program may need to be accelerated, particularly as it relates to liability the town may experience. The infrastructure gap clearly is a large driver of the supplementary section. This previously identified, the asset management plan previously identified a $5 million annual gap, but we also know from the recent report, which we'll be having a follow-up report with financial strategies in 2016, that the effects are potentially much larger. And so a strategy to smooth the impact of the infrastructure gap will be refined this next year. As well, you can see there that the province, AMO released a study noting that for municipalities in Ontario, on average, an additional 3.84% of the levy each year would be needed over the next 10 years to address the gap. Interest rates, both have risks and opportunities. In the case of interest rates decreasing, particularly with our reserve balances, this has the potential to erode investment yields. But increases in interest rates would negatively affect additional debt carrying costs. Legal matters involving the town remain before the courts, and financial exposure, particularly beyond, insurance coverage, presents a risk that continues to be monitored. And for items that are more notable opportunities, it's expected that infrastructure stimulus funding programs may be expanded, particularly as promised by the federal government. The Canadian Motor Speedway continues to progress, and demand on town staff resources may need to be addressed as the project proceeds. The $1.5 million commitment to the Greater Fort Erie Secondary School Theater continues to be funded by operational surpluses, but is expected to be reduced by fundraising opportunity efforts. Interest rates, again, have the opposite effect, as noted earlier. And lastly, the education rates, as noted, have yet to be released, and the opportunity there is to see our overall increase actually reduced by those rates. For our multi-year, the forecast for the 2 years is, excluding any supplemental amounts that might be considered in the future, is for increases of just over 2% and 1% for 2017 and 2018. Multi-year forecast, we also note, of course, the strategic capital reserve contributions are encouraged to continue to mitigate the impacts of various areas. In particular, the Ontario has a regulation that may ultimately require municipalities to fund amortization at a minimum, and then as well to have plans to meet the infrastructure gap over the long term. Other forecast impacts include the expiry of the current collective bargaining agreement at the end of 2016, as well as other market factors such as energy rates, utilities, and insurance. That concludes the presentation of the base budget and the supplementary budget impacts. We have the two reports before us, and the way we will move forward, of course, you'll see as noted at the front of the report, is ultimately to look at recommendations 1 through 4 of the individual supplementary items. Part 5 of the recommendation is a listing of all the grants to be approved. Part 6 of the recommendations is BIA levies, of which only the Crystal Beach BIA has a levy change. Part 7 approves the total levy, and Part 8 is in reference to that Ontario regulation, which requires us to exclude amortization from the budget. That concludes my presentation. I'll give the mic back to the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. That was a very informative presentation. I'm wondering if any members of council have any questions for Mr. Jansen regarding the presentation. Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Jonathan, just one question on slide 14. It says here that there's some projected levy surpluses. And water and wastewater deficit. And we approved our water, wastewater recently. Now, how's that going to affect what we've already approved? No, seeing that it's projected that there's going to be a deficit.
Through the chair to Councillor Lubert, that we were projecting back when the budget did come forward for the water and wastewater rates, a deficit already at that point. And the deficit is planned to be funded from what's remaining of the water and wastewater rate stabilization reserves, so the operating funds that exist for those as well. Then I think, particularly in the case of water, the deficit is quite large, and we'll be using some capital reserves to fund that deficit.
Okay, thank you. And then if we can go to slide 34. Just so we can get maybe a little more explanation on, I think it was slide 34. Yeah, the AMO study says that there should be an additional average of 3.84% needed for capital each year. Is this related to our asset management plan and our infrastructure gap? And if so, I mean, from what I understand, Fort Erie's been pretty aggressive with their infrastructure gap funding. And are we below this 3.84%, or are they saying that each municipality should, over and above what they're already doing, put in another 3.4%, or 3.8%?
The amounts included this year, so the $600,000 and the $200,000, our goal with the $500,000 per year was set at approximately 2.5%. So that $600,000 and $200,000 would be part of our ongoing efforts to stay around 2.5%. So that study just demonstrates that actually there's on average more is needed. And our most recent asset management plan would have demonstrated as well that there's more needed to meet that goal.
Yes, thank you very much. I understand that ours is at 500,000 is 2%. What was the percentage?
2.5% was originally.
So now we need to up that to get to the 3.84%, or we need to add in another additional 3.84% on top of the 2.5%.
No, our 2.5% would be representative, would be part of that 3.8%. So, keep in mind that that is an average for the province, so that you'll have a lot of variation there, but it's just to say that municipalities in general should be doing at least what we're doing at 2.5%, if not 3.8%. So the amount we have included this year, again, is part of that 3.84%.
Okay, thank you. The reason I was asking all that is I just wanted to get a general idea of how we, as the town of Fort Erie, stand as far as, like you said, it's just general without throughout the whole province. And are we on the higher end of the general or the lower end? Although they say it should be 3.8%, we're doing 2.5%. What are other municipalities doing? Are they doing 2.5%, or are they only doing 1 or 1.5%?
Most municipalities do have a strategy to begin meeting that. Again, great variation in that approach, but the most specific thing we can look to in our case is our asset management plan. And the report that was brought forward last year showed the impacts over 100 years. We're trying to bring that forward again with a more of a specific financing strategy, but there were some very large numbers annualized when you looked at the 100-year forecast for all our assets, both for levy supported as well as the water and wastewater rate supported.
Thank you very much. Just is it possible that we could get something to show the comparison between how we're faring with this infrastructure gap compared to other municipalities like we do with other tax rates? Just for information purposes, I mean, I think it would be beneficial to the taxpayers too to see that with these investments that this council, previous council, and future councils are putting into the infrastructure gap. It'd be nice for them to see how we're progressing with that and minimizing the problems in the future.
2015 was a year where it was the end of 2015. It was a requirement for municipalities to submit it for various reporting requirements. So we would expect now that those most municipalities have met that there'll be the opportunity going forward, especially in 16, to provide more comparisons.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Matt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, through you to Mr. Jansen. I, like Councilor Lubbers, have some concerns with specifically the asset management plan. I mean, it's really like a unicorn. Everybody talks about it, nobody's seen it, and we don't even have the final revision. The problem that I have with the AMO study is it takes into consideration places like Toronto. So if, to draw a comparison, if you look at the average real estate increase of 12%, if you take out Toronto and Vancouver for all of Canada, you're only looking at a 5%. So I think using the asset management plan and the AMO for informational purposes, but is fine to make an educated decision, but I don't I don't necessarily agree that it suits our community, and I think that we need to begin to look at individually, let's get our asset management plan done complete and look at the final report before we start, you know, making these assumptions. I agree with Councilor Livers. I think council has made an effort to follow it ever since we started down the process, but really everything's been theoretical, and it's like turning out the lights and feeling around the room right now. Like, can we get the report done and bring it forward to council and see what the actual final report looks like before we say that we should be contributing 3.84? Because for us, a 3.84 contribution might only be a 2.2. We might be doing what we need to do. And I want to see rubber hitting the road. So if we're making the contributions for the assets, let's start getting the assets fixed. So I have some questions in regards to the presentation and slides. Thank you for indulging me. If we can go to slide 7. First off, Mr. Jansen, you and I were having a very good conversation earlier, and this is a great diagram. But not everybody speaks the financial language. And can you just explain, with the build starts and the benefits that we saw coming out of the Community and Development Service, how it's going to impact the denominator to benefit the town by continuing with our strategy as we've done over the last year and the success that we saw last year? Because I think that would put this in a better perspective for the people at home listening or the people reading the budget, to help them better understand the tax, how this is going to impact the town long term from a tax strategy.
Through the chair to Councillor Nutt. So if I understand, you're asking two questions to explain this again in other terms as well, to describe the impact that growth has on this calculation?
Correct. We're not Mississauga. We don't have the advantage of having 0% tax increases, as the mayor and I were discussing earlier, just based on holistic growth because everybody's moving to Mississauga. We're not in that position right now. I think we can be in the future because I believe Fort Erie is a wonderful place to live and everybody should live here. But we don't have that benefit. So we're looking at a large surplus that came out of Community Development Services last year over what we thought we would budget for development fees, building permits, and starts like that. Because the homes are not owner-occupied, we're not getting the full tax out of the assessed value because the homes are not owner-occupied. So just in basic language, so people understand what that means to the denominator, when that does come to fruition, so that people have a better understanding at home, those listening and those reading the budget, that what that means to us in the future for tax holistic growth and rate stabilization on the tax side.
Sure. In terms of growth, the benefit to future budgets or even to this budget is what we look at with the benefit of the 0.25%. So if you look at Appendix 1, in column 2, the number at the very top for 2015 assessment growth is a reduction of 0.25%. So what that means is we're getting, in this case, I think it's approximately $58,000 of additional tax revenue just by having new development in town. So that amount is being raised or is being carried by new development. So that amount reduces, in effect, the amount that others carry if we're trying to compare year over year. So that's what that number is, and it is, relatively speaking, it has been quite low for a number of years, but I think you're right. We are hopeful that we'll see that begin to increase again. And then in terms of that calculation, because really when we're looking at the numerator being the total budget, the assessment below it just helps to spread those costs or that levy out amongst more properties and more assessment. So as we have growth, it does have the effect of reducing the tax rate and therefore the overall taxes by property.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. If we can then go to slide 12, please, Madam Chair. We talked about submission for infrastructure projects on our grants. Last year, how successful were we? And how many grants did we awarded?
through the chair to the counselor. There were the couple of the larger ones. Of course, you'll know that we were not successful in moving forward at this point. We're hopeful that they will take different forms moving forward, particularly as it relates to the Building Canada Fund. Our experience is very similar to other municipalities in Niagara, particularly with the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund, the application-based component, where very few other municipalities in Niagara, I think perhaps one, were successful in moving beyond the first stage. So there were some disappointments, but as well we were successful with working together again with the region in a number of key funded areas. We are hopeful going forward with some others.
Thank you. On slide 13, Madam Chair, if I may, we see that there were some recognition events. There was a non-union salary review, which was completed, as well as hiring some positions. Based on the surplus and people leaving, retiring, and some of the staff that for positions that we didn't fill, was this a net zero to the town overall, these increases?
There's no real, although there probably is no positional real FTE increase, we've just shuffled people around. So did it equal really a net zero? There was no...
The main bulk of this change is the rate changes year over year. So I would point to that, and as well as benefits of which as well can potentially lead to some surpluses for the town, because we do budget benefits by way of refund accounting, which means that we set our rates for benefits based on what we project with some estimates from experts, but based on how we experience claims in our benefits, then we may be entitled to some returns. So those would be kind of two of the main key changes in the wages and benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Yeah, it's okay. Thanks for pointing that out, Councilor Becerra. On slide 21, again, the average residential phase-in on 1.18, I just wasn't completely clear when you were going through the presentation. If you could just state that again, if your property value increases by more than 1.18%, your taxes will increase from impact accordingly, and if you're below 1.18, they'll decrease accordingly. Is that what you meant by that point?
Yes, in effect, the 1.18% in our example, you see that where we calculate the median household. So for 2016, we're showing the median household going from 179,000 in a bit to 181,000. So that would be that increase there. So if rather than going from 179,000, your assessment goes up to 190,000, then your percentage year-over-year change will be more than the total that we approve as presented right now, the 2.69. However, if you go from 179 to only or remain at 179 or something less than the 181, then your effectual year-over-year increase will be less than the 2.69%.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Madam Chair, if I may, on slide 26, under the Community Improvement CIP plan, we're contributing $30,000. Can you comment as to the amount that the region put in for this year's budget? What will their contribution to that be?
Sure, I can answer that to the best of my knowledge, but I might need the Director of Community Development Services to confirm. But theirs is a matching program, so, and I'm not sure to the extent to which it's capped, but as we submit for... as we receive applications and approve applications, the region will match the funds that we give.
What was the uptake on that last year?
I don't have the actual schedule as well here tonight, but I know it was significant to the extent that the reserve has gone down considerably year over year.
Mr. Brady, do you have it? Madam Chair, Mr. Brady.
Mr. Brady.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The
the total amount of money that we had in the reserve, which has been built up over a number of years, was close to $200,000. It was just shy of $200,000. We have allocated approximately $170,000 worth of grants in 2016. We've had a very good, very, very good year, both in terms of Ridgeway and in terms of Jarvis and Bridgeburg. So right now, the total amount of money that it's sitting in that reserve is very low. I don't know the exact number, but it's we haven't turned anybody away yet. But if the number of people who are making requests continue as it has, we will soon be turning people away.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Councilor, anything further?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Brady. I think that that's a great uptake and that's a great program, and we can see examples, especially in Ridgeway with trail sides being redone, as well as in Bridgeburg, a lot of the older buildings being revitalized significantly down there. So that I think that also helps us from a Communities in Bloom perspective as well, because our buildings blend together a little bit better. There's more continuity in the neighborhood design through the CIP facade program as well. Number five, on the fireworks Canada Day celebration, I hate to be a Grinch, I guess, but I assumed that this wouldn't have a budget allocation for this year because I thought that was a one-time grant we did last year as a last-minute stopgap. Was there no community group that came forward that was taking this on? Because that was my understanding.
Councilor Passero, I know you were working on that. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, I have some comments I'll make when we go through the TAMP 7 and 8. Yeah, but I can definitely enlighten you as to where things stand.
Thank you very much, Councilor Passero.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, on slide 29. Mr. Jansen, how much did we spend last year on physician recruitment?
We do have our general manager for community gaming here who may confirm, but I know we had at least one recruitment of approximately $60,000.
Okay, so part one, we're looking at what's in the reserve right now that we're only adding $35,000, because that seems low. If we spent $60,000, we're only giving back $35,000. If there's nothing left, that would make more sense to put $60,000 back in there.
Just give me one moment, I can look that up. Sorry, we're still talking about the physician recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
The total in there projected for the or for the end of 2015 was $65,000.
Okay. Just when I'm out talking to my constituents with the aging population in Fort Erie, the two big things are physician recruitment, healthcare, and the third kind of sub-point, because physician and healthcare I kind of consider one, but the second point being that retirees are looking for low-maintenance type housing. So those are two of the things on the forefront that I think we need to keep sight of and focus on.
I think, if I may, Councillor, we will be going through that later on as well, so we could possibly speak to that, and if Mr. Wilson's still here, you might like to comment on that as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My last question is in regards to slide 36, Mr. Jansen. Can you just give us a refresher? When we were here in 2014 talking about the 2015 budget, you gave us a forecast for 2016-2017. Can you just bring us up to speed on what the forecasted base increases were then to where we are for this year? What was projected during our first budget to where we are today?
What we do annually is use the budget guidance report to use the previous year's forecast as a starting point and to make corrections or alterations as needed from there. So in this case, I don't have them. I could look those up. But one thing definitely to keep in mind, as noted in the presentation as well, is that those are our base changes for year over year, and in each year, council does consider supplementary items that would have the potential to change that significantly.
Thank you. I have no further questions for Ms. Jansen. Sure.
Does any other members of council have questions for Mr. Jansen, Your Worship?
Just a few, and I'll start where Councillor Nutt left off with page 36. So the first bullet, that's only the town's portion of the bill, of the budget, Madam Chair.
Mr. Jansen?
Through the chair to Mayor, yes, that's correct. That's just the levy change year over year.
In the base budget only?
In the base budget only, yes.
And this year, for example, this year, the base increase is actually a negative. So it's actually a decrease, 0.62%. And that's without significant assessment growth. So this would be affected by assessment growth if we get assessment growth, Madam Chair.
Mr. Jansen?
That's right.
And this is premised on your forecasting of where our expenditures, as you know them today, will be going over the next couple of years. Is that the way this works?
Yes, that's right.
And I know that on page 4 there was a reference to the budget guidance, I guess, that you had been provided with respect to this year's budget. I'm thinking that that's probably very important for you, have this council give you an idea of what we think would be appropriate place for the staff to target in terms of their individual budgets.
Yes, we welcome that direction, and that is often subject of corporate services, or we do welcome that in various forms.
Right. So that the budget that we get this evening is very much a reflection of your understanding of what we were thinking in September.
Yes, we've worked with that and aim to find any and all savings to have it be lower.
And so if we've changed our mind now in January, I suppose that should be no reflection on you or the staff, because you're working on the basis of parameters that we've provided to you. And now as we keep going forward in the year, if we start to take a little different view, then that's why we're here, isn't it? To look at these supplemental items and decide whether we're or against. If I might, Madam Chair, with respect to page 8 and 9, which relate to the tax burden, in that this is primarily in Niagara. All these communities on page 9 are in Niagara. And there is a study that, I don't know if it's called the BMA study or something of that nature, that each year covers a lot more than just the taxes that are levied. It includes water and sewer, as an example, that type of thing. Would we have, Madam Chair, any access to that information for 2015, or is this far too early for that?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Chair. I did update that. That is a section in the BMA study as well. They refer to the total as being the municipal burden. And when I combine, I believe I have it at the end here if needed. So here on your screen, you can see this is how, when you combine the effects of that same like residential property with the total costs from the 2015 study, which are actually created with 2014's numbers, you'll see the total of those two. And in their case, in the case of the BMA study, they use 200 cubic meters per year, which is slightly more than the 16 per month that we use. But here you can get a sense of once you factor in both bills that the town provides, how the town does compare. In this case, we are slightly below average for the total municipal burden. And just note that it does exclude a couple of municipalities. Wayne Fleet, as they don't have a water and wastewater function, as well as Grimsby, as their numbers weren't made available.
Right. Okay, so that's very helpful. And that shows us in a slightly different context, but it does take into account what our residents have to address in terms of their costs, or as it says here, the burden. Our presentation only goes to page 38, so we missed that one. Okay, and then if I might, Madam Chair, just to page 24. I'm not sure that I fully understand this particular chart. I don't know that I understand the last two columns and what they're supposed to mean. Wonder if the director could give us the benefit of his insights on that.
Sure. If you're looking at Appendix 1 again, if you're looking at the bottom line of Appendix 1, the 0.67 negative percent is the amount you see in column 4. And then what this aims to do, because the province hasn't released their education rates, if we follow the trends of their last three rates, it's quite likely that their rate, when we do some calculations, will actually push the total decrease down to a negative 1.07, so that's an additional 0.4% lower. If you look at the town and region line, there's no change between the middle column and the final column for both the town and the region portion, but this is just intended to show the difference of the education rate between keeping the rate as it was last year and with the rate that we would estimate, which you can see pushes our portion of the provincial down from $354 in the 16 bill column to $343 in the estimated column.
And so then the base budget decrease overall would be 1.07%.
That's right. And so you could apply that same decrease overall to the 2.69%, where based on our estimates, if the education rate were to be released tomorrow, our best guess is that instead of 2.69, the rate would actually be approximately 2.29.
And if I might, Madam Chair, we won't likely get this, I think you said, until when?
Traditionally, it's been in the month of January, but last year it was delayed till March, so it's difficult to predict, and the province hasn't given any indication through our meetings of when to expect it.
Okay, so just so that I've got this straight, if we get the education rate prior to February the 22nd, we could theoretically include that in whatever our calculations are. If it comes after February 22nd and we've already determined what our general levy outcome will be based on 1.18% education tax increase, if in fact it is lower, we are going to have a surplus, at least for that small amount of the budget.
No, just to clarify, that wouldn't affect our bylaws for setting our rates at all. It's just collecting for the province and remitting to them, but it is part of our demonstrating the total tax bill to the residents, so it wouldn't change our levy or rates.
Okay, so it's only going to affect the amount of money that we send to the province.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions? Thank you again, Mr. Jansen. I think what we'll do now is we'll go through each individual line item of Section 7 and 8. Just if there's any questions or if any members of Council need clarification from staff, and then this way, once we have the general levy on the floor and we're voting in the different sections, we'll be able to debate and make decisions from there. So if we could just refer to Section 7 of our booklets. And I think the easiest way is just to go through, based on the table of contents, we'll go through line by line, and depending who has questions, we can pull each individual section. So with regard to the General Reserve Fund, Does any members of council have any questions? Councillor Lubert?
One.
Section 7.
Section 7.
Your Worship?
Yeah, I had a question. So, for some reason, the amount that we collected for the general levy was less than budgeted, and that's because some people didn't pay their taxes, or is there some other reason?
Through the chair to Mayor Redekop, the amount there in that line is net of tax write-offs. So in there, particularly when it comes to the budget, it is the case that the budget line there does not actually equal the levy, because we have a total tax write-off budget that exceeds any kind of supplemental budget we have by, I think in the case of 2016, about $114,000.
Right. Okay. And if I might, Madam Chair, I noticed that the amount budgeted for donations was the actual receipts were four times. Not large amounts, but is there an explanation for that?
Donations would be one of those areas where, due to the low predictability, we do tend to budget lower than what we may expect. There are some areas that do work hard to receive budgets, one of which I know is museum. They will at times receive specific donations for some initiatives. I think one of the large ones actually that pulls through in the 15 number here is the Bridgeburg BIA. So depending on how they structure their events or how they receive amounts, in that case, I think it was almost $10,000 in total donations that they had, and they budgeted none.
So for clarity, just so that everyone knows, this is a consolidated budget that includes the BIA budgets, and we'll be getting to those later on. So that would include everything that they receive. Okay, thank you. And then finally, at the bottom of at the last item on page 2, accrual basis, surplus, deficit. First item, year-to-date actuals. What does that mean, the 1.46, 481 million?
This section at the bottom is more technical, and I would, it's something we need to show for certain Ontario regulations, but that column isn't as meaningful to council because it's a reconciliation to the accrual basis of accounting. So to spare you some of the details there, you would want to look, if you're looking for at the time of printing, you know, what some of the actuals were, it's more limited to the first page. The second page just is more of a reconciliation exercise.
If I might, Madam Chair, then what was the significance of the last number at the bottom of page 1 under year-to-date actuals?
Yeah, that amount would be at the time of printing without some of the final adjustments that absolutely still need to be made, would ultimately, in the end, once we're done, would be the surplus number for the year.
So that's a neighborhood number right now.
It's come down at least a few hundred thousand since then, but that would give you an indication still for most line items of what to expect.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Moving along to the taxation, page 3. Does any members of council have questions? Payments in lieu, page 4. Are there any questions? Bridgeburg Business Improvement Area. Are there any questions? Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area. Any questions? Ridgeway Business Improvement Area, any questions? General Revenues, are there any questions? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, Madam Chair, could you just give out the page numbers as you're going along, too?
Sure.
Because if we're falling behind a little bit, then the page.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
General revenues, page 19. Any questions? Councilor Matt?
Can we just, I have a question in regards to, let's see here. It was in regards to the Ridgeway BIA. I saw in the supplemental items that they have a request in. Sorry, 15. But in Jonathan's presentation that he just previously did, there was a request in there for $1,500. Okay. Could that not come under? Do they have surpluses? No, I guess. Right, they're in deficit. Okay.
We're going to go through that as well during tab 8.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions? Charitable gaming revenue, page 20. Are there any questions, Your Worship?
Yeah, just for clarification, this is licensing revenue, is it not? So the you're speaking to the 2 million in general revenues, or sorry, did you refer to a specific line? I'm on line? Page 20.
Oh, sorry.
And I believe it's just the gaming, the licensing. Right. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Madam Chair, I have a question on the same page. So just so that we don't flip ahead, year-to-date actuals were 178,234. We're only budgeting 163. Does that include the solicitation of an express interest for charities? Because I know that the gaming committee had expressed to take on some additional charities for the additional bingo revenues.
Mr. Wilson, maybe I could ask you to come to the podium.
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Nutt. The amount that you're looking at there is strictly what we receive from license fees. So you're right, there is an increase in net revenue going to the charities, but because the net revenue percentage is significantly higher than the percentage that we get as a municipality, it doesn't equate, so it doesn't reflect the same on your budget sheet. So the reason that Jonathan and I discussed 168,000 is because we went through a bump, and we also have to manage the U.S. exchange. You know, very as well as anyone, it fluctuates. So we have to manage that fluctuation. So we'd much rather be conservative in our estimate than overestimate.
Okay, so you have taken into consideration the possibility of new charities coming on, which would add a little bit of extra revenue to...
Yeah, that's been taken into consideration
as
well.
That's what makes up that number. Thank you.
Welcome.
Does any other members have any questions? Councillor Pizarro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilson, could you just, for the benefit of the public and maybe some of my colleagues who weren't here last term when we went through this transition, can you just speak to the $178,000 now versus what it used to be under the former arrangement, just to give people an idea of the hit that we had to take going forward?
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Pizarro. Under the old revenue model, we used to get X number of dollars per license issued, and it was around $165. So for every license that we as a municipality issued to either of the two bingo halls, we would receive $165 back in license fees. Under the OLG model, it changes because now the municipality gets a percentage of the adjusted net gross. And that percentage is significantly less than if we were getting paid by the license. So to answer your question directly, if memory serves, and please don't quote me exactly on the number, but we were in the neighborhood of about $480,000 to $500,000 in lottery license fees when we were under the old AGCO model. And now, as you can see, those revenues have dropped somewhat to around $168,000, $170,000. The premise behind that was that revenue would then transpose over and become part of an increase in the charitable revenue side. We're starting to see a slow growth on the charitable revenue side. So for those of you that are bingo savvy, you'll know that we give out shares. So the share amounts for each time you work is starting to slightly increase. So the give and take, if you will, was the municipality gave up probably about $280,000 to $300,000 in license fees to move from the old AGCO model to the current e-gaming model, with the hopes that the increase in revenues to the charities would be sustained.
Anything further?
I'll bet the province didn't take much of a hit on that.
No, actually the province, through you, Madam Chair, to His Worship, actually the province's percentage, the province actually receives more now than they used to.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I was shocked, but you know, that's how that goes.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
That brings us to Mayor and Council, page 21. Does any members of Council have questions? Your Worship?
Yes. What does this all relate to? Presumably this has something to do with staff as well. Page 21.
Yes, this would have some wages allocated from staff as well. There, it's primarily though no due to mayor and council total wages,
and the materials and services component would be.
This would have some sundry items, some training, conference and events items, some postage, meeting expenses. There's some contracts. I believe the contracts in there would relate to the strategic planning last year. So that's why in particular, I think, and when it comes to materials and services, why you see the decrease year over year was due to the strategic planning costs.
Right. Okay, thank you. And then why is it that this particular element would be transferring money to reserves?
In the case of the $11,000, I believe that's in part for $11,000 was transferred in to cover some of the strat planning costs. We do have annual contributions to an elections and I think it's in with that same reserve fund, but we do use some funds to pay for one-time costs like this once every 4 years. So I think that's what that primarily relates to.
That I can understand. I can understand a need for transfers in because we have no revenues of our own. So what would be the base, what would be the source of us transferring to a reserve?
That is the contribution for the once per term strat planning. So if we're putting away $5,500 to the reserve every year, this in this case, I can't recall what the difference is there, but we would be putting monies to there annually as well as using it occasionally.
Right,
I think the $15,000 actually is low because some of the costs were borne in 2014.
Right, and so that would be similar to the clerk's department having to set aside money for the elections every 4 years. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. Just to follow up on Mayor Redekop's thought about that in regards to the strat planning, through you, Madam Chair, to Mr. Cookett, how many strat plans has the Bradenham been involved in?
Mr. Cookett?
To you, Chair, to the Councillor. She's been involved in most of them, or since she's been here, I would say all of them, but not to the extent she was in this last one. She saved us a tremendous amount of money for her efforts. We were limited on the consultant use. They obviously, you were a part of the process, took us through the first few steps, and then she took it over and completed the strat plan for us. So we had big savings there because of that.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Through you, Madam Chair. That's exactly where I was going, is that in the future, she's proven that she's more than capable of doing that. I don't think we need to bring in an outside consultant. Just in the line of work that I've done, we do strategic planning all the time, and I do it with several of my clients. And I have to say, she performed at a very high level and proved that she was extremely competent. And my recommendation would be to eliminate this transfer to the reserve, because we have a staff resource that's fully capable of doing this in the future for future councils. And maybe if she was closer to retirement, I would think that this is a good idea, but I don't know. Right now I'm thinking we could probably eliminate that.
Your Worship?
We don't know what the landscape's going to look like in 3 years. She may be here, she may not be here, she may retire, she may not retire. She's getting to the point where she's got sufficient service. I'm sure that she could retire, because she's worked for the town as long as I can remember. And so I don't know, for the sake of the $5,000, it might be more prudent for us to keep that in, I'm thinking. However, that's just my contribution to the discussion.
Well, maybe the CAO might be able to have a conversation with her and find out. Thanks.
Okay.
Through you, Chair, to the Councillor. We're not going to let Bev retire ever. but I will say that she does really enjoy doing it, and I think she'd be happy to hear that she could take over the whole process. So, yeah, it's good. I'm hoping she never leaves.
Are there any other questions? That brings us to Office of the CAO, page 22. Are there any questions? Legal and Legislative Services, page 23. Any questions? Financial Services, page 24. Any questions? Corporate Insurance, page 25. Are there any questions, Your Worship?
Just a question about why, in view of the fact that the actuals exceeded last year's approved budget, why would we be reducing it even further for this year's budget?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Madam Chair, to the Mayor. There, a couple of the things that it would be impacting there would be that supplemental assessment I mentioned during my presentation, so that has expired, so you'll see some of those costs going away. As well, we did have some staff doing some extra work to try and get us further ahead with some of our under-deductible claims. So that's why we saw some higher than normal actuals in 2015.
So the just to get this straight, the supplemental assessment will not be applicable in 2016, what you just said?
That's correct. If you in my presentation in the base budget expenditure section, I did note that the $50,000 assessment was going away, which was half of which was being funded from the insurance operating reserve.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Fire, page 26. Are there any questions? Councilor Nutt?
Madam Chair, through you to Chief Copeland. Saw a decrease in the forecast for wages of $81,399 from 2015 to 2016. Can we get an explanation on why are we losing our firefighters? Are they being poached by other municipalities? What led to that?
Chief?
Through the chair to Councillor Nutt. The explanation, I believe, and the Director of Finance can step in if he doesn't believe this. We have a 3-year rolling average we use with the volunteer remuneration. So we're not doing the roller coaster if we have a spike within the wage. So I believe that is where the change is, that it's just a leveling out.
Your Worship?
I note that under the supplemental budget, we're being asked to approve a $50,000 training rate increase, and it's projected to be requested for the next 3 years, and that's to be part of their the firefighters' honorarium. I know there's been some shifting around with respect to how they're compensated. My question is, why wouldn't that be included in the base budget?
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. I believe when the report came forward with that, the suggestion was that the amount be brought back as part of the budget deliberations. So we would have taken that to be that the intent was to review it separately at that time.
So for all intents and purposes, if we approve this, that'll change this number going forward on page 26.
That's right.
Thank you.
Community and Development Services, page 27. Are there any questions? Councilor Nutt?
Yes, Madam Chair. We have an increase in the budget for this department of $671,242. The revenue far exceeded last month. Could Mr. Brady please give us an explanation on just what led to that? I see there's a huge increase in the user fees. It was just about double what was forecasted. But if you look in 2016, we're back down to the same projection, but we know that there's pending approval for some subdivisions. Do you anticipate another overage in that area, Mr. Brady?
Thank you, Councillor Lutt. The last year's approved budget was $530,000 for this. The 2016 budget is $568,000. So it's gone up a substantial amount in terms of what we anticipate for user fees. Yes, you're absolutely correct that in 2015, my staff were working very, very hard. And because of that, user fees are in the neighborhood of just over $1 million. That $1 million came in from additional planning fees, the registration of the four subdivisions that I've talked about in the past, and also increases in building permit revenue, and most importantly, one-time increases because of the two schools. Building permits for both the elementary school and the high school were collected in 2015. The work that will be done on them will be done through 2015, 2016, and extend into 2017. So they will continue. There will still be operations required for those building permits for the next couple of years. We don't expect another school right now, and unless there's another large permit on the horizon, and the only one that I can see at the present time is CMS, and there is no budget in here for the Canadian Motor Speedway.
Anything further, Councillor Nutt?
Yes, just another question, Mr. Brady. I see that there's just not a very large increase in wages and benefits. With the pace that we were receiving applications last year, and with the Bank of Canada lowering the interest rates again, everything in the economy seems fairly stable, and for indicators for development, it seems like I would say that we, with the exception of the two schools, we're set up to have a fairly successful year this year. Is the staffing complement and the increase in wages, is that driving that just based on the volume that you experienced last year?
Mr. Brady?
I'm not sure how to completely answer this question. The quick and easy answer to the question is my staff work very hard, and they do. The secondary answer to that question is we are, as part of the organizational review, doing some changes that will result in at least one building official additional in the building department. That's not been finalized yet, but it's on its way. The treasurer duly noted, if Canadian Motor Speedway really does accelerate up in 2016 and we need additional staff, we will be back because it is a significant risk, both in terms of planning approvals and in terms of engineering as well and building permits.
Mayor Redekop?
Yes, I wonder if we could just go to the bottom of that page and do those numbers at the very bottom, accrual basis, surplus, deficit, does that suggest that we've actually got about a $434,000 surplus coming from this department?
Mr. Jansen?
No, the reconciliation piece at the bottom would be accurate, but if you move up to the department net revenue, the other double line row above that, with this is an example of a department where in this case we budget for a levy reliance of just over $2 million, so that $2,044,000. In this case we're relying on the levy only $1.629 million. So the difference of those two would be the actual to budget surplus for that department.
So that's $425,000.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, this is as I've mentioned to some of you, every time I go through this, it's like peeling back another layer on the onion. You know that the work related to the permits that were issued this year, especially for the schools, there's still a lot of inspection work, the bulk of the inspection work still to be done, which is going to have to be paid for through presumably this year's budget. And there is the possibility that we're going to need additional resources if the building continues apace or we get a large application that involves a lot of inspections and a lot of review of approvals. So I'm wondering whether we shouldn't be putting some of this particular sum, and I'm not sure what reserve it would go into because I know that our policy is this will go into a reserve, but I'm wondering whether we shouldn't be putting some of this money into a reserve to cover just the possibility that we might have to hire new human resources for planning going forward in 2016 so that we're not caught, so that the source that's generated the revenue is actually the destination where some of the resources are utilized. Because we talk about trying to be responsive to developers or residents that are coming in seeking permits and approvals and what have you. This is a good example of the fact that this is a revenue generator, has the potential to be a revenue generator, and the more responsive we are, the more potential we have to generate revenue. So that's got to fit in the scheme somewhere. I'm wondering where.
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair. This is one of the areas that in my presentation I did know that there are mandated allocations. So in the case of building permits specifically, we have to set aside any surplus funds towards a reserve. So we do have a reserve that is for building permits. And I think that when we look at the total for 2015, we're projecting right now about a $70,000 surplus. So that's not just the budget to actual, that's as a department or as a functional unit, how much we would have brought in revenues greater than our total costs. Because as I mentioned earlier, you know, we do budget a reliance on the levy for this department. It's not that it's self-funded with revenue. So in that regard, we are planning to put some monies aside to the tune of $50,000 to $100,000, let's say, that can be used for future suggestions like that.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions? That brings us to roads, pages 28 and 29. Are there any questions? Storm, page 30. Sure we can. Roads?
Yeah, with respect to the expenditures, I note that both wages and benefits and materials and services are significantly under what was budgeted. Was there a specific reason for that?
Our Director of Infrastructure might be able to speak to some specifics, but I know there were some reallocations between departments this year, in particular with Urban Forestry Department and so on. So it's likely that it's a result of some of those, but...
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair. The budgets we set out every year are based on previous year's expenditures and obviously what we expect going forward. On a line-by-line item, I don't think we had that much difference to what we expected, but I'm thinking when we took it collectively, it added up. I know we the $590,000 figure is increased already because we've got a streetlight maintenance bill has come in the past week that's supposed to be contributed to that, and that was $25,000 itself.
Okay, and I note that both of those items are actually being decreased for the 2016 budget. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Storm, page 30. Transit, page 31. Councillor Nutt?
Through you to Mr. Walsh. We contract out our transit service. Can you explain what's included in the wages and benefits under this since we contract out our bus service?
The wages and benefits here partially cover a portion of my salary, a portion of the CAO's salary, a portion of my admin assistant and transit manager's salary. And there may be some other support groups in there as well.
So earlier when we saw the CAO page, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Councillor. Crossing guards is included in there as well. That's a big sum of money.
Thank you. I was curious if that's where they were. So.
Anything further? Operations, page 32 and 33. Are there any questions? Facilities management, page 34. Are there any questions? Councillor Nutt?
Just in regards to facilities management, I'd just like to take this opportunity to let everybody know that's listening at home and for you in the gallery, that we are in the running for the Kraft Hockey Hometown. And we'd really like to get the community behind that because some of the prizes could be used in the arenas and, you know, for some retrofits or a new Zamboni. And we should all really get behind that.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Are there any questions? That brings us to boards and committees, and I just wanted to point out that the Library and the Economic Development and Tourism Corporation, they have provided Council with presentations. Mr. Jansen, I'm just wondering if the numbers that were presented have been included in this package and considered.
Yes, the submitted amounts are included with the base budget.
Are there any questions regarding the Library Board, page 36? Councillor Patero?
Yes, Madam Chair, just to go back to page 35, general boards and committees, if I could make a quick comment. During our volunteer appreciation 2 years ago, I believe, we had a guest speaker that spoke to the contribution that volunteers make in our community, and I believe he referenced a figure somewhere in the millions of dollars if you calculated the number of people we have in our committees multiplied by the number of hours they put in. So every dollar on this page is well worth it as it's leveraged into literally millions of dollars that we don't have to fund, that people put their time, talent, and energy into our town. So one of my favorites is page 35. It's just a bunch of numbers on a page, but really that's what makes our town the great town it is. So thank you.
Are there any additional questions or comments? We will go back to the library board. Any questions? Economic Development and Tourism Corporation, any questions? Community Gaming and Development, are there any questions? Community Wellness and Youth Initiatives, page 39 to 40. Any questions? Councillor Nutt?
Not so much a question, but more of a concern that I have is the projected contribution of $10,000 under physician reallocation. And maybe Mr. Wilson can come forward and speak to this. I just have concerns that we're shortchanging our community by not putting a greater emphasis on drawing in more doctors. You know, we have some great opportunities with South Niagara. I'd like to really get out in front of what impact that hospital coming online could potentially have with drawing away some of our doctors. Do you feel there's any risk, Mr. Wilson, with that occurring in the future? Like, should we be placing greater emphasis on this?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Nutt. It's an interesting question because if you look at the age demographic of the physicians that are currently in the community, the majority of them have been here for a long time. I would be more concerned with losing new physicians that we might be recruiting over the next 4 or 5 years when the new hospital opens up in Niagara Falls, because there's just more mass, there's more learning opportunity, there's more chances for continuum of care. So I think the risk is at that end. I don't think there's very much risk at all of losing any of our current physician complement. I mean, that's not to say that one of them might not go, but they're pretty well ingrained in the community. They're very active in the community. I can't see that happening, but certainly it'll be attractive to new physicians coming out of school or physicians that are moving in from other areas of Canada to a hospital that's going to be state-of-the-art with a teaching component. So it's possible down the road. And to get to the crux of your question, that's why we probably need to put the pressure on now to get as many physicians in the Fort Erie as we can get early so that they can become ingrained in our community like the current set of physicians that we have. So I think the risk is long-term with new recruits. I don't think the risk is with the existing complement of our physicians in town.
Councillor Nutt?
Mr. Wilson, how many existing physicians in town do we have that are closing in on retirement? What's our potential loss of ingrained physicians over the next 4 years in your estimation?
Well, through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Nutt, as most, if not all of you are aware, Dr. Gleason just retired. December 31st was his last day. I would say over the next 4 years, the potential for physician loss is probably for sure 2 in the neighborhood, potentially to 4.
Do you have off the top of your head what the average number of patients are per physician in town?
That's usually not a question that physicians like me to answer. But if I was going to go on an average, especially the physicians that have been here a long time, you're probably in the neighborhood anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500, some more, some less.
Madam Chair, if I may. So just indulging me on your number, potentially if the maximum number of physicians left with the low end of the number of patients that you quoted, we could have roughly 6,000 people in town without a physician, out of a population of 29,000, so almost 25% of the people wouldn't have a doctor in town. I could see that putting an extreme burden on clinics like Dr. Mitchell's. So again, I'm very concerned that we're shortchanging ourselves in this area of the budget and not giving it its proper attention. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, can you comment on that? Because I know that you made the financial request. So I'm curious as if, you know, I'm thinking that you probably thought it was a suitable amount to ask for based on your experience. So if you wouldn't mind just commenting on that for me.
Certainly, Madam Chair. I understand where Councillor Nutt is coming from. Under normal circumstances, since I've been doing this job, which is 13 years now, we've been able to recruit upwards of 8 physicians, which is pretty good. If I do say so myself, it's pretty good. But the thing about physician recruitment is it is not a consistent science. So if I was to tell you that I'm going to recruit one doctor every year for the next 5 years, I mean, I couldn't tell you that in all good conscience. Some years we recruit 2, some years we don't recruit any. So I think the key for me is to be able to have the financial wherewithal within the parameters that I need. $60,000 to $70,000 per doc to recruit. And then that $10,000 line that Councillor Nutt's talking about, which is physician relocation. So the last physician that we recruited, it cost us about $65,000 to set the office up for that physician to go in. And then there was another 10 on top of that physician relocation to bring her from A to B. So as long as the reserve is, I'm in a position in the reserve where I've got the money that I don't have to come back to council, because sometimes it's very difficult when you're trying to sit down with somebody and negotiate and recruit, and they say, okay, I'm very interested. Well, I've got to go back and see if I can get the money. So that's why at 125 or 129 we'll be at, Jonathan, something like that, if we get the supplemental, that puts me in a good position. And if I have to come back to council for another 70,000, I'll be very happy to do that, because that'll mean we've recruited 3 in 1 year, which would be exceptionally good.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
If I may, Madam Chair, just one last comment.
Yeah.
I meant no disrespect. For the budget.
Yeah.
I'd like to see us give you more money to do that and have more money set aside to do that was really the intention of my question. Not that, you know, I think that just with the age demographic of the population of the town, we need to give this a lot of serious consideration. And I think allocating more funds to do that is better than it allows us to get out in the forefront. You don't have to make, you know, additional budget requests. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you the comfort level and confidence to go out there and be a little more assertive in the physician recruitment side of it. Thank you.
Councillor Butler. Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Wilson. First of all, I'd like to say a couple of things. You do a magnificent job in recruiting those doctors. I agree with Councillor Nutt, though, that I would like to see it topped off, and I do acknowledge your experience and your expertise. But I wouldn't like to have you handicapped if you have the potential to recruit more than a doctor or 2 doctors. So I would agree with Councillor Nutt that I'd like to see an improvement on that too as a go forward basis, just so that if there is a possibility to even bring 3 doctors, you have that capability of doing that. Or, you know, even if you have to entice them further, because it's a tough go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mr. Wilson appreciates those comments. We will be discussing that under tab 4, though, so you might want to, or part 4. Your Worship?
If I might, we passed a resolution here, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, with respect to the announcement by the provincial government earlier, or sometime last year, about underserviced areas, about restrictions on new physicians going into group practices. Does that have any impact on your efforts?
For you, Madam Chair, to His Worship, it does have a significant impact on my efforts, especially as it relates to trying to recruit new doctors coming out of the college. And the reason for that is the college teaches them under that faux model. So not to be able to be, if you can't offer them the faux payment schedule, then right away you've got 2 strikes against you out of 3. So there's a couple of things that add to that. One is the fact that we're not designated as an underserviced area, and that's being taken to task at the ministry level. But the other thing is most new grads are very reluctant to, not, I wouldn't say waste their time, but very reluctant to give their time to an area where a foe is not in place and they can't participate in it.
Right.
Which is currently where we sit.
Yeah, I'm not in disagreement with my colleagues here with respect to this. You sound quite confident that if you're topped up to $129,000, that's going to get you through 2016. I think that's what we're hearing. We should be looking at some other financial vehicles for a couple of things. Number one is building social capacity in the community, and the other one would be something akin to the health and wellness side of it. And I know that you've got a lot of background with respect to that. When you said 13 years, I remembered, oh yeah, you were here before. You did look younger then, I'm sorry to say. But I suppose I looked younger then too. for purposes of this year, are you comfortable with the 129 if that's what we get you?
Through you, Madam Chair. Jonathan and I had discussed this at length. We were in the $60,000 to $65,000 range for recruitment. I will say that inflation hits, you know, my business and recruiting as it hits every other business. I mean, the chances are we may need more than $65,000. Maybe we'll need $70,000 a doc, so that's another $11,000. But, you know, in an effort to be financially responsible as well, I mean, to the taxpayer, we thought that that was a reasonable amount of money to acquire. The only thing I would say to Councillors Nutt and Councillor Butler is, you know, taking in inflation, we may need $70,000 a doc, so we may be looking at potentially $140,000. But what I can do this year is I can probably absorb that $11,000 in my operating budget with some of the other grant room, and I'd be in a better position standing in front of you next year saying to you, look, $70,000 a doc is not enough. I need more money. And I can't do that right now in all good conscience because I haven't needed more than $70,000 a doc. But I guess I should be a really good bureaucrat and take whatever the hell I can get. So if you want to give me more money, I'll take it. No.
We're looking for candor, which you've provided. And maybe if I could just ask, Jonathan, if we were in a position where provincial policy changed, we were in a situation where we could either help to create a new, foe or add to the existing, that's what we have here now in town, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got, through you, Madam Chair, we've got one foe in town, and it's in the clinic at 238 Birdie Street. The rest of our doctors are in a FIG. Sorry to the audience, but probably doesn't mean anything to them. It's just the way they get paid. It's either fee for service or on a pay per patient basis. But the FOE is what they're teaching them at the college. So when they come out, that's where they want to go.
So I would think that if we had the opportunity, I mean, if it were three, I'm thinking that could be an opportunity for three people that know each other. Maybe they're interested in moving to town. We'd be looking at tapping into the reserves if we had that opportunity. And we have reserves available, do we not?
Through you, Madam Chair, to the Mayor. Yes, we could make allocations from other operating reserves as we saw fit to transfer.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Wilson? I'm very impressed because it's not very often where you see someone that's very candid and says, no, actually, I have enough to run basically with what I have, and not, yes, I'll take an extra $30,000 or $40,000. So we do appreciate that.
No, and I appreciate the offer. I really do. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I've been on both sides, and you know, money's tight everywhere. So thank you, Madam Chair.
That brings us to Accessibility Advisory Committee. Are there any questions? That's page 41. Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, page 42 to 44. Lyons Senior Complex, page 45 to 48. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding the Lyons Seniors Complex, Jonathan, could you explain the legislation that's in place that ties us to a percentage figure of that funding? And whether or not it's legislation or just an agreement between us and the facility. I note in the bottom of the one report under notes 4, it just speaks that their request for 2016 represents 20% of total budgeted expenditure. And I know it's always been 20%, so I'm just wondering, what relationship is it that exists that gets us to that figure in relation to possibly provincial funding or legislation?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Passero, I believe it is the Elderly Persons Act, or there is some legislation, and I couldn't speak with great confidence, but that does mandate a percentage contribution from the municipality in this case. So I know we have stuck to that, but I believe it is legislation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could just ask a follow-up question, and that's because they actually have residents for seniors housing. Is that what kicks that into place?
I'm not sure if there's anyone else on staff that might speak more directly to that. I'm not quite sure.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Jansen.
That brings us to the Beachcombers, 49 to 50. Are there any questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To Mr. Jansen, do you know why we give this grant to the Beachcombers?
Through Madam Chair to Councillor Butler, we do have a listing that we have provided to Council of all boards and committees that does speak to their purpose and rationale for support. With this one in particular, beyond it being a senior citizens initiative that we have historically supported, I would have to look that up.
Are there any additional questions? Community grants, BIA watering, page 1.
The 51.
Are there any questions, Your Worship?
Yeah, I was just wondering if we could get a breakdown of what the 41,000 is and why it was projected at 290 in the budget.
Through Madam Chair to the Mayor, the 41,000 last year's budget within the $290,000, the amount that relates to would be $28,000 in watering grants, as well as a one-time $12,500 contribution to the Niagara Community Foundation. So 40,500 would have been the overall amount budgeted for the grants you see specifically there in the actuals column. And I know there are some adjustments that were just made this week to cut off some of the expense for the BIAs for watering grants related to the actuals.
So what about the approved budget last year was $290,500?
Right. That one is actually, if you reduce the contribution from reserves, 250,000 of that 290 was the theater contribution. So because of the timing last year, we concluded the grant there, but funded it fully from reserves, which due to the timing of the year end, was coming from the general levy rate stabilization.
Thank you.
Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a point of note as well is that 28,000 is actually divided amongst four organizations. It's the three BIAs plus the Stevensville Canets. Without a BIA in Stevensville, they do theirs through the Birchburg BIA as far as the administration, but it just ensures that we're able to spread that out through all corners of the community. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions? Crystal Beach Beautification Committee, page 52 to 54. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just
They came in at a deficit of over $6,000, or actually a surplus, mind you, of over $6,000. But I just, there's some vague verbiage on their submission on page 53. I'm just curious, is other contracts, is that the watering contract? Is that what's included under there?
Yes, they would have a portion in their contracts. I believe their portion would be $7,500. So in their case, you'll see the revenue if you're looking at their submission of the $7,500 at the top, and then $7,500 other contracts is the amounts that they're spending of that grant.
Okay, I was just wondering if they could maybe uniformly tie into the BIAs with how they show that. Like, for example, in Bridgeburg, it was always shown as municipal water grant on the financials, just for clarity purposes. And just under materials and supplies, maybe Councillor Liberts could give us some insight what's included under that. That flower.
I'm not sure, Councillor Liberts, did you want to comment? I'm not sure if you would be able to actually have that information.
No, the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee is a separate committee on its own. It's not part of the BIA, although the BIA does grant them some money. But we have the chairman of the community's the beautification committee here this evening. I don't know if she might be able to answer some questions.
I'm comfortable with that if you are. Is it Mrs. Swam, or would you like to come to the podium to answer?
Just like to repeat the questions that you have.
Yes, the materials and supplies. I was just looking for an explanation as to what the materials and supplies consist of.
Materials and supplies are all the plants, planters, hanging baskets.
Okay. So we know that the Bridgeburg BIA purchases hanging baskets and such. Is that done on an economy of scale? Do you all collaborate to get the best possible price across with the additional purchasing power of you all going in together?
No.
No? Okay. Is that something that maybe we could facilitate or that you would be open to? I think it would benefit the town as a whole.
I think, I don't know what all of the other groups do. I do know that some of us have been doing it for a while, have managed to get good prices. Okay. We believe the best prices that we can get. And it isn't all just based on best prices, it's on the quality of the materials that we get to. That is very important for us. One of the areas that we have improved on last year in Crystal Beach is that we have added or substituted some of our plantings to drought-tolerant plants, and that has reduced the need to water quite as frequently. And we still get a good show.
Excellent. And I think those are great initiatives, and I'm just wondering if other areas of the town would benefit from that type of expertise on a collaboration when...
It's a lot of work for that many groups to work together and to agree. It becomes very cumbersome. And plus the fact that we all have different tastes in our floral designs, and we're doing different kinds of things. Some have hanging baskets, some have one-size hanging baskets, some have others. Some have more beds than others, different plants. So it's very difficult to, I would think it as being very cumbersome to try to do that.
Okay, thank you very much, and I appreciate your expertise and your comments, Ms. Swan. I know you also sit on the Communities in Bloom committee as well, so I'm sure that you benefit from being there as well.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Councillor Pissarro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a further to Councillor Nutt's question, Ms. Swam's very modest, but she was kind enough to help out myself and the Bridgeburg BIA a couple years back by giving us some of her time and expertise as we were starting to pursue some beautification initiatives, and you're starting to see those pay off in Bridgeburg as well. So I thank her for her support and her time.
Mayor Redica?
I just want to say that this is money that's very well spent, and I note that we're actually allocating less money this year and for the 2 years following than we did last year. And the final thing is just to kind of follow up on what Ms. Swam said. There is diversity in the community, and the fact is that the various areas do show different faces when they take on their beautification projects, and I think that that actually is part of the beauty of Fort Erie. And just again to comment that the efforts of the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee played a big part in our success this past year in the International Communities in Bloom competition. So not only are you ladies very intrepid because you've been here since 5:30, but you also, you and your colleagues do a marvelous job. Thank you.
Councilor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on Mayor Redicott's comments, looking at what goes on in the community, and Councilor Passero alluded to it earlier when he talked about volunteers, and again, the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee is a bunch of volunteers. So when you look at what we get for what we contribute, again, the dollar amount is nowhere near what we really receive. And then there's the unforeseen benefits that we receive. And I think one of them was when the Communities in Bloom won the third place prize for the National Photo Contest, and the Communities in Bloom, that photo came from the efforts of the Crystal Beach Beautification Committee. So they need to be commended for that. And thank you very much, ladies. And I guess there's some gentlemen that are included in that. And I'm very supportive of the program, and I hope it continues as the years go on. Thanks.
Councilor Knott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one last comment on that is that I think that Ms. Swam has a vast amount of knowledge and expertise from being on both committees, and I just think that all areas of town could benefit from tapping into that. Just as early as I had stated that Bev Bradden did a great job with the strat plan, and she should probably lead the next one without a consultant. I think that we need to find the gems like these ladies in our community and tap those resources, because that's what makes Fort Erie great, is the diversity of individuals that live here and everybody coming together. And, you know, I just want to say thank you very much for all your hard work.
Are there any additional questions? That brings us to Communities in Bloom, page 55 to 59. Are there any questions? Okay, before we move on to Section 8, I'm wondering if we can take a 10-minute recess. Okay, I think we'll get started once again. We are now on Section 8, and we're going to go through the same order. We're going to go through everything line by line. So we're going to begin with the base budget, capital reserve increase, strategic investment on page 1. Are there any questions? Mayor Redicott?
More or less a comment, and just for clarification, the policy says $500,000 per year. We were asked last year to allocate $600,000 to make up for the $100,000 that hadn't been given the year before that. So that last year is included a part of the 2014 component. We only allocated $400,000. So there's $100,000 from 2014 and $100,000 from 2015 that still needs to be made up. This is an effort to pick up the 2014 shortfall. Correct?
Mr. Jansen?
That's right.
And this is a cumulative, this goes into the base budget, and this becomes a cumulative amount each year?
Yes, that's right.
So in fact, we did nothing next year, as an example, we would have this $600,000 carrying forward. So there'd be a 0% increase, but there'd be no increase, but this 600 is institutionalized. So that policy calls for over a five-year period, $2.5 million. Your plan is to get us to that $2.5 million one way or the other. Well, presumably through legal means. So I'm going to support this because I agree with the philosophy. We put in $600,000 this year. Next year's request should be for $500,000. Is that correct?
The two amounts that we've included this year would get us to the full, nearly the full 2.5% that if we had contributed every year, where we would be this year. Yeah, there's some retroactive effects, but the $600,000 would certainly get us much further ahead than where we are now, yes.
Okay, so I got that, but my question was, if we put $600,000 in this year, we would be putting in $500,000 in accordance with the policy next year.
Yes.
Provided we put in all the other money that you're asking for this year.
That's right. I would couch that, though, with the fact that my comments in the presentation were such that we would plan to bring forward a new, and we've said this for the last year or so as we were bringing forward the asset management plan, but our expectation is that we will have a new version of the $500,000 per year to consider and adopt during this next year. So whether that ends up being more or less would be something that council would consider during the year, at least then have a longer term renewed view of how much should be given per year.
And each year that we have a surplus, we have the opportunity to build up our reserves that this money is going into, so that in some respects there's actually that supplemental increase to those reserve funds from the reserve from the previous year, so that we could even, I mean, theoretically we could say, and practically we could do, we could take $100,000 from the 2015 surplus, put it into the reserve fund to cover the $100,000 that we didn't put in, we could take $200,000 and put it into the reserve funds to cover the $200,000 we didn't put in last year. The only difference would be it wouldn't be institutionalized. So I'm going to support this particular item. There are a number of other items that I have concerns about, some with respect to approving them at all, some with approving the full amount, and some with where the money should come from, whether it should come from the general levy or whether it should be coming from surplus or reserve. Because my basic position is the increase of the town's portion of the general levy itself, as projected in the report that we've received and the presentation you made tonight, is too high, in my view, and it needs to be reduced. And so we may be able to fund many of these things to accommodate the fulfillment of some of the projects. But I believe that we need to look at other than just the general levy. And as we go through this, that'll become clearer. But I think we need to take into account where the community is, bearing in mind the best advice that we're getting from our staff with respect to these various items. I think we need to understand where the community stands on these things and the burden that the residents and the taxpayers are faced with, and try to somehow square this circle by capturing much of this as much as we can without going to a levy increase of the magnitude that we're talking about. So that's as cryptic as I can be right now. I'll be less cryptic when we get to the next point.
Mr. Jansen?
Madam Chair, if I might, On that note, what I've just posted back onto the screen is an interactive version of our supplementary requests, such that if we do wish to see the impact as we move along of any change, then we can produce a revised total increase year over year and see the impacts of each item.
Mayor Redicott?
Well, that's very helpful, and this is a document that should actually see the light of day in terms of the public, because then they can see that the first item that we're talking about right now, which is the allocation to the capital reserve or an increase so that we're going to be meeting our long-term obligation, both legislated by the province and practically from our need to maintain our infrastructure, is a 2.5% impact on the general levy, that one item alone. So that's very helpful, and that shows where we're heading with respect to that, which only, I guess, leaves open the question as to how do we find efficiencies elsewhere? How do we reduce the implications of increases that are projected elsewhere in order to meet that and still have a sustainable budget in terms of the residents?
That brings us to, Councillor Knott.
I also have a question in regards to this, and you were quoting that the reserve policy, CDS 25-1-12, how often is the reserve policy reviewed? Or was this just established in regards to the asset management plan, the mythical unicorn though? Looking for.
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Knott. This was established in 2012, and it is something we would want to review approximately every 5 years. So this next year, given that we wish to bring forward a financing strategy with the asset management plan, is when we would as well seek to update that policy as well.
Okay. To the mayor's point, if we wanted to catch up on the past 2 years, 2014, 2015, we could use surplus funds to make those contributions whole. And to the mayor's point, it wouldn't be institutionalized. But since the province has set no parameter as a minimum contribution to this, I'm more inclined and leaning towards that suggestion than supporting this straight up. But we'll get into that later when we get further into the other points. Thank you.
Yeah, I again just wanted to remind everyone that we will get into whether we support or we'd like to make changes once that report is on the floor. Councillor Lugertz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen. When we're talking about the $600,000, I think there's some confusion as to how we get there and bringing in reserves. If we make a contribution, let's say we only gave $400,000 and $200,000 from reserves. The problem that we run into there, if I'm correct, is what this infrastructure gap program was supposed to do was supposed to put a $500,000 into the base budget each year. So if you only put $400,000 this year, and then you top it up with $100,000 from reserves, you didn't add to the base budget. You just gave $500,000 for this year, $400,000 to the base budget and $100,000 to. So you're defeating your purpose. Now, I know, because I was on the other council when we didn't put in the $500,000, and we took a lot of criticism for that. And that brings me to the next point is, I'm hearing that there's a policy, that we have a policy to put in $500,000 a year. And as a member of the previous council, I remember specifically that we asked, if we agree to put $500,000 a year into an infrastructure gap funding, are we committed each year to do that? And we were told no. So it's not something, I don't feel that it's a policy that we have to follow. It's something that's there as a guideline. But I do agree that if we're going to put the base budget in, that we need to do it. If we're in a position this year where we can make up for the $100,000 that we're short, I can support that. But I think, can you explain it? Am I right in my thinking that we can't take it from reserves, bump it up with reserves? We have to create a base budget item of another $500,000 added on to what we've already done. Is that correct?
Through the chair to Councillor Lubritz, you're right. The difference is that the funds we're looking to approve are addressing an annualized gap. So every year we're looking to add an amount to catch up to the annualized amount. So by only applying one-time funds with surplus or other reserve funds to this, it would mean in the case of supplementing it with $100,000 from a different reserve, the expectation in the context of the strategy would be then that every year you would give that $100,000 additionally to that reserve. So you're quite right in how you describe that.
Okay, thank you very much. So basically what we're looking at right here on page one of the supplementaries is just to bump the base rate, our base tax rate, to $600,000. And then, like the mayor said earlier, next year we're on to the $500,000 unless we review. But for all intents and purposes, we're on to $500,000 next year.
Yes, and in fact, if you look at the supplementary budget request form, this one, if you look at budget year, it has the $600,000 amount. And then in the second year, $1.1 million is that plus, again, the $500,000 at that point and $500,000 going forward. So that is how it's presented.
Anything further, Councillor Lubritz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to looking at the chart that we have here, I'm wondering, could we not just do the $600,000 just to give us the base and then use the rest for the supplementary? Can we separate these? That's what I'm looking at, because I think when I'm looking around the horseshoe, there's some concerns about other items of this. If we don't approve it, then we lose the $600,000.
No. So what we're doing is we're just going to go through part four, and we're going to just go through each page in part four. We're not making any decisions yet. We're going to make those decisions after we've gone through all of this.
Well, whether we make the decision or not, if you got it in one package, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to break this up. I would like to support the $600,000 going into the base budget. But when I'm looking at this chart, are these here, there's 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 to 1.7.
Councillor Lewis, when we get to the parts, we'll be going line by line as well. No. You'll have the opportunity to amend and change.
We're just going to be going out with the $600,000 and then all the other requests separately.
Yes.
As long as we're going out.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen. Just for a point of clarification, last year we were requested $600,000 and that was reduced to $400,000, correct? Had we have approved the $600,000 last year, where would we be this year for a request for funding? It would be five.
Yeah, there was one previous year that where we missed as well, that we didn't put forward last year. But then this year we would just be, if we had approved the whole $600,000, we would have been asking for the $500,000. Actually, it would still be, in total, we're looking for $800,000. So if we had done $600,000 last year, it would have been $600,000 this year, not $800,000.
Right. That's what I was thinking. So really, it would be in our best interest to have a forward-thinking pattern for the next couple of years to make up for the $200,000 shortfall that hasn't been recovered to date if we approve the $600,000, correct? Thank you.
Yes.
Are there any additional questions, Councillor Nutt?
Mr. Jansen, earlier in your presentation, you referenced that the AMO report shows that we should be contributing, was it 3.84 or 3.64? 3.84%, which is actually an $887,444. So why aren't we making that request?
Through the chair to Councillor Nutt, that's a provincial average, and we have adopted our own strategic approach to it. And so, you know, that is an example where we talked earlier of it being an average. It was just to demonstrate overall the general gap.
But that goes back to my point. This is really just an arbitrary number that we're setting for ourselves. To Councillor Luber's point, it's not really a policy, and there's no provincial mandate to meet. So why should we pick up last council's shortfall?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, this was the 500,000 that was identified initially when the assets were being reviewed back in 2012. This was thought to be a prudent, compromise in terms of getting there, us to minimize the gap within over time, and 2.5% of the levy was thought to be a reasonable way of getting there.
Okay, Madam Chair, if I may, just a follow-up question to that. At that time, it was decided that that was a prudent amount. So how many times did last council fulfill that prudent obligation?
The amounts that we're presenting here represent the total amounts of the amounts that weren't approved. So with it being 800, there would have been a total of 300,000 of the 2.5% per year that would have been not approved.
Councillor Butler.
I thank you, Madam Chair, through you to perhaps Mr. Walsh and Mr. Jansen, whoever would like to speak to this. But my first question is, if we look at this breakdown, we're looking at $350,000 that's going to go to road refurbishing, correct? And right now, Mr. Walsh, can you confirm that all of these councillors around the horseshoe have constituents that have been asking them for road repair? Is that correct?
For you, Madam Chair, I believe all councillors have asked for that.
Thank you. And I believe that regardless of whether or not a previous councillor or past councils have shortfalled, I guess would be the word, previous requests for budget, it would be in our best interest to actually be looking at this as a go-forward basis to improve the system in the municipality of Fort Erie with respect to our roads. So we should be pragmatic, I think. That was a comment. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions? That brings us to item B, capital reserve increase, road resurfacing. Page 2. Mayor Redicott?
Madam Chair, I'm going to support this, but I'm not going to support it being paid for through the general levy. Just to kind of work this backwards, if I've got this correct, the policy is $500,000 per year. Last year, we were asked to put in $600,000 because the year before, 2014, the 500,000 hadn't been put in. 400 was put in. So when we didn't put in the 600,000, we then shortchanged both 2015 and continued the shortchange of 2014. We've just picked up 2014 if we approve item number one, which is 500,000 plus 100,000, which represents the 2014 amount that wasn't picked up, specifically referred to. So in some respects, this is kind of getting 2014 twice. I'm okay with once, and I agree with Councillor Butler that we shouldn't be too concerned about who did what in the past. We're now in the present, and we've got to move this forward. This would be institutionalized. If this becomes part of the base budget, this is institutionalized. And that would mean that we would have we would basically have $800,000. And I'm thinking that if the economy was better, if we had a lot more stuff, economic activity going on in town, and I didn't believe that there are people that are struggling with their burden, both taxes, utilities, what have you, maybe this would be an attractive way to go forward. I think we should be funding this from the 2015 surplus. At least that's my view. That doesn't create a carry forward. But that's something that if we have a better, if we have larger assessment growth going forward, if we have better economic activity going forward, if we become a bit more affluent as we're moving forward, we can always increase the allocations that we make to the budget in terms of our asset management. So that's where I am right now. I'm not thinking that I want to put a further general levy burden when I know that we've got surplus from last year that we actually could be drawing on to help fund this particular item. And the other point is the there's a further item on page 10, and that's the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund increase that we're getting this year of $403,000 that was referred to during the PowerPoint presentation. And that's money that is handed out by the government, and many prudent communities don't use it to offset their general levy because we don't know what it will be next year. We don't know if it will be larger, if it will be smaller, and particularly with this year being a new assessment year. So in 2017, we don't know whether we'll get a larger amount or a lesser amount. So I think it's prudent to utilize that for capital projects. And this is all going to go to road refurbishing. So we're going to have this year alone for roads, 403, 200 if we were to approve this item on page 2, and 350 from page 1, which is 559. I've got 953,000, but it's around $1 million. So that helps us to address the problems that we're all hearing. I have the benefit of getting to hear from all the wards, so I know what you're all going through. But I think that my view is that we should fund this particular item from surplus from last year. That's my view. That's my 2 cents.
Are there any additional questions? Again, I think we should probably maybe table some of these debates until the report's actually on the floor. But if there's any questions, that would be Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I need some clarification on how this $200,000 from this page and the $600,000 from the previous page are not one and the same. Someone needs to explain that. I was under the impression that you were asking for $600,000 in the previous page because you weren't allocated the full amount of the $500,000 at one time. So you got that on the last page. Now you're looking at another $200,000 and saying that this is going to make up for, because you only got $400,000 in 2015. Am I reading this wrong?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councilor Lubberts. It is what maybe I could do to summarize is that the total of $800,000 would bring the town to the 2.5% of the previous year's levy. So either way you break it down, I think in part the aim to have $600,000 initially was that it aligned with the budget guidance, and that's what we had previously said, and the $200,000. In some way is a mix of foregone amounts plus the differences in general of the 2.5%. So I wouldn't get caught up in the the specifics of where it came from, if that's not quite clear from the description in the request form. But suffice to say, it is just below 2.5% per year since it was introduced.
So what I'm seeing here, here's where my confusion is coming into listening to the conversation. When the mayor says, well, I will support this, but we should take this $200,000 from and pay it out of the reserves.
Surplus.
Or the surplus, right? The problem I'm having with that is the whole idea for this $200,000 is to make it a base budget item. So when you take it out of the surplus, you're not making it a base budget. So in other words, if you're allocated for $500,000 a year over a 5-year period, right, you're going to have $2.5 million in the base budget that goes to reserves, to the infrastructure reserves, right, to fund that infrastructure gap. But if you do $400,000 a year and you give $100,000 out of surplus, you're only at $1.2 million at base budget. You're $300,000 short of what you want to be. So when you keep going to the surpluses or reserves or whichever way you want to do it, you keep falling further behind. The $200,000, if it's not going to be base budget, you're defeating the purpose of the infrastructure gap funding. Am I correct with that, Mr. Jansen?
Yes, that's correct. It's the that is the difference between base and one time. So if it were to be funded from 2015 surplus, that would move it from the base section, so from part one to part two. In that case, it would be deemed to be a one-time contribution from a reserve.
So this is one of the difficult decisions that we are going to have to make as a council. Are we prepared to put us back on track and put the $800,000 in there this year? And if we are, then we need to take a look at other things. Now, these are the things, when I look at it, these are the things that we are supposed to do as a council and as a government, to repair these roads and to provide the people the service. And then we need to take a look through the other parts of our budget and say, where are we giving money away where we're going to get nothing in return? Or we're not going to get the return or the benefits of where we're putting that money into. And there's lots of money that we give away where we're not seeing the benefits of that money. So I'm prepared to put this $200,000 into the reserve or into the base budget. But the problem that we have is we're going to have to take that $200,000 from somewhere else. And a good place to take that is when we look at, we're putting $250,000 in the 40 Live Racing Consortium. Why don't we eliminate that $250,000? They had 8 $1 million days this year. They did very well. They don't need the $250,000. So there's your $200,000 that you can put in your base budget this year. And I mean, that's where I would go with this. But it has to be a base budget. It can't be coming from surpluses.
Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment to assist in this conversation now and going forward. Even though they're linked, the difference between the $600,000 on page one and the $200,000 on page two is the $600,000 request is divvied up over a number of different categories. The $200,000 on page two is strategically targeted towards road refurbishing. And I believe that's an attempt by staff to stop some of our phone calls and emails. So although the two are linked, there is a specific purpose for the amount on page two, and that's specific towards road refurbishing. Whereas if you look at page one, even if we put in the 600, that's not all going towards roads. Only 350 of that is going towards roads. So I just offer that as comment for when we get to the actual report. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions?
But can we get a clarification? We've allocated to wherever. Live Racing Consortium. Isn't that supplemental?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Mayor Redekop. No, that was an agreement that we entered in 2015 that was a multi-year agreement based on resolutions from last year's budget. So that was the decrease was part of the base budget.
So next year there's going to be another $250,000 that the base budget's going to be decreased by.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just to get some clarification on Councilor Passero's remarks, this $200,000, it makes reference to the infrastructure, the gap, infrastructure gap, because it says this would make up for the unapproved amount in 2015. So this $200,000 is part of the infrastructure gap funding that we're trying to create. Is that correct, Jonathan?
That's right.
Okay, so and what we're trying to accomplish here on page two is to put another $200,000 into the reserves as a base budget item. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Mayor Redekop?
Just one more point of clarification. The policy was established in 2013, and was $500,000 allocated to the budget in 2013?
I did look that up at some point. I believe that first year the full amount was, because this $800,000 brings us to the full 2.5% per year. So I believe, oh no, 13,000 was actually 100,000 less, because that's why the 100,000 from 13, which wasn't referenced last year. I'm not meaning for this to be confusing, other than to say there was a $100,000 that was missed in 13 and a $200,000 last year. So 500 for 16 plus an additional 300,000. And I think the reason it doesn't, like I said earlier, align, as well with that is because they were split up to represent what was originally presented in the budget guidelines. But $800,000 is the amount that would bring us to the full amount from what has been foregone. I do have a chart that would show that, but not right here.
Right. So the issue is really where this money, this $200,000 comes from.
Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much. I just want to comment, make one comment on the mayor's point there. Here's a perfect example of surpluses. The 1 year, Jonathan, I don't know if you were here then, or you may have been working with Helen, but we didn't put the full amount in. I think the 1 year there was only $350,000 allocated, or may have been $400,000, I can't remember. But later on, we received a report where we had some surpluses, and we took the balance that we didn't contribute to the base item, and we put that into that allocation. So we topped up the allocation. So let's say we only gave $400,000 towards the gap. Then we gave some surplus of $100,000, which gave $500,000 for the year. But you see, it only gets reflected that $400,000 went into the infrastructure gap into the base budget. And that's where you run into problems when you're thinking about doing it with surpluses and reserves. It has to be a base budget. So we need to be clear of that. We can't use surpluses to fund this.
Okay, that brings us to item C, downtown core area CIP grant programs, pages 3 and 4. Are there any questions? Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This has been one of the most successful programs that we have in rebuilding the downtown and intensifying the residentials in the logging web of downtown. So over the last number of years, actually the last year, we'll just say, we've had 18 signed agreements, 12 of them actually in Bridgeburg. And Joe sat down there when we're doing the revitalization, totaling approximately $124,000 of $170,000 that was secured. So what's left here is, I think, about $14,000. And aside from that $14,000, we'll get $71,500 from the region, which will bring it up to $85,500. And they're asking for $30,000 in the budget. But I don't think that's going to be enough. The fact is, known applicants in Bridgeburg alone could hit $60,000 to $70,000. We should expect that 40 to 50 K in Ridgeway, and we are about to open up in Stevensville, where potentially 30 to 40 thousand is expected to be sought. So it's but that totals about 160 to 180 K. So to me, $30,000 is really not enough, and I would like to see council consider an extra $30,000 put in, because that would bring us to at least $145,500. And it's not a giveaway, which is a good thing. I mean, everybody that gets their places all fixed up, the appraisals go up, and over time we get this money back. And I would look to council to add an extra $30,000 on to this budget year, because while we do have plans for a second and third year forecast, we don't know if the region is going to continue the program. So I think we really have to take advantage of a program when the getting's good, while the opportunity is there, because business still want to grow here, and there's a lot more work to do. And after Stevensville, you know, there's going to be the west end and the south end of town and Crystal Beach to consider. So I would highly recommend that we add $30,000 as to the request that's already asked, to make a total of $60,000, so that those that want to take advantage of CIPs this year that are known should have that opportunity.
Thank you, Councilor McDermott. When that item's on the floor, you perhaps would like to make that amendment. I did make note of that. Councilor Lubitz?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just speaking on the Community Improvement Plan programs and the grant programs, I fully support the programs, but the only problem that I'm seeing with it, and not that I don't agree with it, but I have some people down in the Crystal Beach area that have been talking to me, and they've been hounding me because they want a community improvement plan for their area. And we don't have one there, and the people down there can't apply for any of this grant funding. And I don't have a problem with increasing it. But if we're going to accelerate and increase the program, I think we need to accelerate the process of bringing Crystal Beach in line with, so that we all areas of Fort Erie have a CIP, and then we can all benefit from the grant funding that's available. And I'm just wondering if Mr. Brady could comment on any possibility of accelerating our CIP process.
Mr. Brady?
Through to Councilor Lubitz. Councilor Lubitz is quite correct. Both the South End and the Crystal Beach areas have campaigned me, as well as the ward councilors. I've been out and I've been looking at some of the areas that people want to invest money in, and they are absolutely right. There are great opportunities in both the South End and in Crystal Beach. We had brought a report to council a while ago, and we outlined our capacity to do secondary plans and CIPs. and we received direction from council so that the Douglastown, the CIP for Stevensville was passed this year, and the Douglastown secondary plan will be hopefully finalized in March. We're marching on, if you will, to deal with the South End. We're trying to deal with them on an annual basis, one like a package of secondary plan and the CIP. Same staff that does the secondary plans and the CIPs, the actual policy work, are the exact same staff that hand out the money. And if any of you who have been involved in the process of reviewing the applications, you'll know that there's a considerable amount of work that's required by the staff in doing so. I know a number of you have sat on committees that have reviewed them. So I can tell you that with the staff complement that I have at the present time, there is absolutely no possible way that we can accelerate any of the programming. We will be starting this year in 2016 in terms of the Southtowns, the Southtown area. And as per the original memo that was sent to, original report that was sent to council, we'll be starting Crystal Beach in 2017. Most recently, I've offered that if consulting money was provided, that could be utilized to accelerate a program. But I can tell you that's not inexpensive. It's quite expensive. And the kind of programs, any of you who have been through one with Mr. Miller, know the extensive amount of consultation that goes on to ensure that the secondary plans that we're producing today are ones that are held in high regard in the communities where they're being produced. So I'll leave it at that, I'm open for any other questions.
Councillor Pissarro, did I see your hand up? Are there any other questions? Mayor Redekop?
Just so that we can have some clarification then, the staff has made a recommendation with respect to this, and I'm wondering what the thinking was behind their recommendation here. Knowing what they know, providing us with the background that they've provided, why the suggestion of $30,000 per year?
Mr. Brady?
Through to the mayor. The $30,000 that we had recommended, we thought was a minimum. Currently, right now, the base budget includes $20,000 that goes into the CIP programming. So the CIP program fund receives $20,000 annually. The additional $30,000, which we've requested this year, would therefore inflate that to $50,000. And we assume that the region will continue to have theirs. So that would give us $100,000. We felt we could operate a reasonable program at that amount, but the uptake we've had this year has surpassed that. Like this year we've had $174,000, allocated. So we, as staff, I follow the lead of Mr. Wilson. I only ask for what I absolutely need. But if you want the programs to be dealt with more so, that's the process of council.
So in terms of the significant uptake with respect to this program, both in Ridgeway and in Bridgeburg, and I see that there are a number of applications already waiting to be processed. I think it says 7. How many buildings are left?
Well, Bridgeburg has a considerable number of buildings left, and what we're starting to now get into, because the program deals with three aspects. It deals with facades, which can be about $10,000 a building, thereabouts. It also deals with apartments, and apartments are becoming, a lot of apartments are starting to come online a lot in the sense of a lot more than are in the downtown at the present time. Currently, a number of the places that don't have second floors are actually looking at putting second floors on them and putting in apartments. And in Ridgeway, there's probably about 10 buildings left. I don't know how fast they're going to come online. I just don't know. If I could space them out over the next 3 or 4 years, that would be fine. But it would be disheartening if we had to say to someone, well, 2016, we're committed, and come back next year, and you're first on the list.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'll await the discussion that we have when this gets put on the floor. Thank you.
Are there any additional questions? That brings us to item D, Emerald Ash Borer Tree Removal, page 5. Any questions? Item E, tree planting, page 6. Any questions? Item F, volunteer firefighter training rate increase, page 7. Item G, Canada Day fireworks, page 8. Are there any questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To respond to my colleague, Councillor Nutt's question of earlier, last year when Council became aware that there weren't going to be any fireworks without some Council funding, it was pretty last minute, and Council was kind enough to fund $15,000, and I had pledged to go out and get the additional $5,000. And that's what we had done. At the time, we had said we'd like to have more time to consider this going forward, bring it forward as part of the budget. What we're looking at is $10,000. We'd still like to get to a $20,000 fireworks show. So I would still be committed to going out and gaining that additional 10. The reason, in my opinion, we need something from the town. It's very hard in this day and age to get dollars with all the different fundraising campaigns going on, given that you can't promise somebody that your dollars will actually go towards the show happening. Now, having said that, I'm hoping that none of what I just said materializes, because immediately after the fireworks of last year, as I had committed, I reached out and was successful in the Fort Erie Kinsmen, who have come on board, and they have said that they would like to help facilitate the fireworks show. So what we did in November was put in a grant application to the Celebrate Canada Fund. It's for more than just fireworks. You have to have a family and entertainment and almost educational components around it. And the fireworks is kind of the icing on the cake in the evening. And we have made an application to do that event, plus include $20,000 as part of those monies for the fireworks components. The difficulty we face is that even though the intake deadline is middle of November, we will not find out until the end of February at the earliest if the Kinsmen have been successful. We need to start booking our fireworks contractors now. We should have actually started 6 months ago. As you can imagine, Canada Day is pretty busy for fireworks across the country. So we have somebody who is waiting on word. They have penciled us in, but every day that goes by that we can't actually say, yes, it's a go. And we can do a show for $10,000. We can light up fireworks in the sky for $10,000. I'd still like to get to $20,000. I'm committed to doing that. We're hoping that the grant will come through with the Kinsmen. The reason it's not a guarantee for the grant as it has been in previous years is because we have now changed the agency that's the applicant. So formerly Canada Day, Canada Day Celebrations, yep. Fort Erie Festival is different than Canada Day Celebrations. Formerly, they had done this grant application for many, many years, and they then supplemented the money they received with their reserve fund from previous years of bingo. They did not apply for the application last year. We have now a one-year break. Generally, what I'm told is that if you are successful in getting this grant and you meet all of your reporting requirements and they are happy with the outcome, generally, although nothing is ever a guarantee, but generally other groups have seen that funding year over year over year, as Canada Day Celebrations saw. So I'm hoping we'll be in that same position going forward. I'm hoping in 2 months I can come back and say we can put the $10,000 back. I'll leave the rest of the discussion for when it comes on the floor. The long and the short is if council wants to guarantee that there is a fireworks show on July 1st, I would need this $10,000 to go out and start leveraging the other monies as soon as we hear back from the grant application. Best case scenario, the grant comes through with the Kinsmen. They've been very cooperative, very supportive, as has Fort Erie Festivals and Flow Otting and her board, and we're actually leveraging some of their synergies to ensure that we can keep it at the $20,000 figure, where in previous years, when it was just the one entity utilizing it, it was actually upwards of $30,000 for the fireworks show. And I thought the show we put on last year was pretty darn good. So that's where it stands. That's the background. That's what we're waiting on. And that's why there's $10,000 sitting there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any additional questions? Your item 2. Section A, Habitat for Humanity Grant, page 9. Any questions? Mayor Redicott?
Yes, this is a request that includes some holdback funds, some deposits, And I'm wondering if what leverage we have in the event these deposits are waived and for some reason there's a lot grading issue. What leverage do we have with respect to the construction?
Mr. Cookett?
To your chair, to the worship. We have no leverage. Actually, we just have their word that they'll go in and do the repairs or correct the grading issues, but we have no mechanism if we don't take these securities.
And these are deposits, so that if all the work is done properly, I presume then the deposits are refunded to the builder. Is that correct?
You're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Item B, capital reserve increases or increase road refurbishing OMPF funding, page 10. Any questions? Mayor Redicott?
The $953,000 to roads refurbishing this year, we're going to be able to fix some roads to that extent?
For you, Madam Chair, yes, we will. In December, we published the five-year resurfacing program. We'll just take that representative money from the next year's program or the next year's roads and accelerate those. We've got lots.
There was an application that we made, and I know we didn't receive it, and I think it would have provided us with $900,000 or thereabouts. Are there still opportunities for us to apply to other levels of government for some funding with respect to roads?
Through you, Madam Chair, we don't think they're specific to roads. The grants that have been approved these days deal more with health and safety issues such as bridge repairs and water and sewer replacements. You'll see in the March committee and council meeting, we'll be bringing our biannual bridge inspection report forward that identifies significant surprises in terms of budgetary requirements, and there'll be plenty of opportunity there.
Mr. Jansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would want to clarify something here, and that is that in terms of all the additions with going to roads in the supplementary items, this truly is the only one that would be increasing the 2016 capital program. The other amounts that we noted under the base contributions, those are intended to be long-term need contributions. So in the case of this particular item, we would be increasing the annual budget from approximately 800,000 right now for 16 to 1.2 million. While there, the contributions that are strategic in nature may have some shorter term benefits as well to the roads program, and Kelly can correct me if I'm wrong here, the intent in keeping with asset management planning is definitely beyond the short term. It is to the long term where we see most of the pain in the gap.
Anything further, Mayor Redicott? new requests for council consideration. Wages, roads crew, page 11. Any questions? B, wages, parks, winter casual, page 12. Any questions? Section 4, one-time physician recruitment, operating reserve increase, page 13. Are there any questions? Fire department operational review, page 14. Niagara Boulevard cycle route expansion, pages 15 through 17. Mayor Redicott?
Since this is going to be a one-time expenditure, why wouldn't this be something that could be funded from either a reserve fund or surplus?
Mr. Jansen?
Through Chair, you're right. This could be something that could be funded from a one-time source. One-time items like these in particular are better suited, although there wouldn't necessarily be any. I'd have to look at what reserves might lend themselves to this type of purpose. We do have, other than some operating funds, which this one could, if nothing else, go under with a general rate contribution or directed from the surplus.
If we found a reserve fund like a parks reserve fund, could we not replenish the money when we know exactly what our surplus is from 2015? Could we not replenish that fund from the surplus?
Yes, we could do that at that time, yeah.
Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just looking at over a couple more pages on the map, when I'm looking at, I'm thinking, are they looking to add it in between the two yellow lines? Is that where we're adding it? And if that's the case, I'm just wondering, would this not qualify for some grant funding from the region for the waterfront enhancement program?
Mr. Walsh, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, Madam Chair. The section in the blue dashed is proposed to be an off-road route, a new part of the trail. The red dashed is to be en route. With respect to funding from the region, this is the last remaining gap in the Greater Niagara Circle route. And during the expression of interest phase for this funding opportunity, we approached the region and they declined to participate at this point in time as they're under the throes of a transportation master plan. I disagree with their point of view in that I think it's pretty obvious that this last remaining gap will reappear in the new plan, and it appeared in the former plan, and they've got money in reserve for this. To which my point was made, but still no funding coming forward.
Mr. Brady, I see your hand up.
Thank you. The additional question that Councillor Luberts asked was whether or not money could come from the Waterfront Enhancement Program. We'll be asking for, and I'm sure Council is well aware of this, for $850,000 from the Waterfront Enhancement Program for the implementation of Bay Beach. That will max out the amount that the town of Fort Erie can ask for the next 2 years.
Mayor Redicott?
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow that up, Mr. Walsh was talking to the region about this. I don't think in terms of waterfront enhancement. I think he was talking in terms of the circle route and the bicycling system in Niagara. So I wonder if there shouldn't be some further approaches to the region about this, or are we at the point where the door has now been closed and there's no opening.
Through the chair to your worship, I am sitting on the Niagara Regional Circle Route Committee. I've been attending the meetings for the last approximately 6 months. And they are in discussions with other municipalities, the City of St. Catharines, the Town of Pelham, the City of Thorold, to extend current circle routes. And there is funding available. They're looking at matching funding for some of these other projects. When I started on this committee, we didn't have any shovel-ready projects on the list to be chosen for when funding comes available. I've had discussions with Signia about putting this project on the list for discussion and possible funding from the region.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a quick question. I don't know who to address it to, but if we approve, do we need to approve the $100,000 in order to get a matching contribution?
Mr. Brady?
Through you to Councillor Butler. This project is really has three partners to it. One is the Town of Fort Erie, the other is the Niagara Parks Commission, and the third is the money that we're asking for from the Ontario Municipal Cycling Infrastructure Program. So the Niagara Parks Commission have put up, I believe it's $150,000, and we're putting up $100,000, and then the rest of the money is being asked for from the cycling program. We have to be the Town of Fort Erie. We have to be the one who asks for the money. The Niagara Parks Commission is not eligible, but where the money comes from, they don't really care about. So the $100,000 that we put up on this project, we're hoping will engender a lot more money from both other sources. Plus, both Kelly and I are hoping that in the long run, the region will come through and be able to provide this funding. But right now, they probably are not. So we want to get the project underway, but we want to then continue to ask the region for their fair share as well.
Councillor Butler?
If I may, Madam Chair. So if we do approve this and then we do get the funding from the other two parties, it is conceivable to say that that we could be reimbursed for that $100,000 or close to it? Possibly? Not at all?
No.
Not even partly?
20% of the grant that we're asking for, 20% must come from the town.
Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you look at your map, you see the blue dotted section going into the red. I just want to note that the black dotted line around, that's the route that Chief Coughlin bicycles before he gets to work every day.
Are there any additional questions? D, Battle of Ridgeway, 150th Anniversary Event, page 18. Mayor Redicott?
I support this, and I hopefully, if the application for funding is approved, it looks like we will only be out $10,000. But no. Okay, so isn't this money that shouldn't be going into the base, shouldn't be coming from the base, the general levy? Isn't this money that should really be coming from, again, either the surplus or a reserve fund? And if it comes from a reserve fund and the grant is entirely approved or mostly approved, the money that we've allocated simply stays in that reserve fund. If it's not approved, well then, we've allocated it and it has no implications for the general levy. So far, am I?
Yes, you're correct. This is a good example of something that could easily be replaced with funding, particularly in this case as it's considered to be, there's an opportunity for us not to have to incur the expense at all.
Right. My concern being that if this goes into the base budget, even for the 1 year, becomes a marker. It's a placeholder so that it can either be a reduction for next year, or it could be like a vacuum and get filled with something else. That would be my concern.
It, just in response to that, all the items that are approved in any budget or in last year's and this year's budget that are one time automatically are listed in detail in next year's base budget. So it would have to be renewed next year, because this year it was approved as, if it were to be approved, it would be a one time. So we don't allow that. We would have to ask for the funds in that case again.
No, I think you're missing my
point. Okay.
My point is that it won't be asked for, so theoretically it should be a reduction in whatever percentage this is, unless something else fills its spot. So we could have no increase in our budget, but we could find a way to spend $5,000.
That's right.
Not suggesting that you would do that. I'm just saying.
Anything further, Mayor Redicott? Councillor Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much. I support this request also. I just want to point out that when this event takes place, and I spoke with Ms. Davies earlier, one of the things, I think it was the Forgotten Nine, is that correct? The Ridgeway Nine, yes. There's a request that has been made several times to the federal government to recognize some of these people that died, and they don't seem to be too enthusiastic about recognizing these people that died in Ridgeway. And this will be another perfect time for us to lobby our federal government to have these people recognized. And I don't know if the all of council knows about the Ridgeway Nine, but I think they were involved in a Fenian raid, is that correct? And they fought in Ridgeway, but the federal government is telling us that at that time they it wasn't an army, they weren't part of our armed forces or something, but they did protect our territory, which is Canada today. And but they're a little reluctant to recognize them, and hopefully this council can make some noise in Ottawa and have these people recognized. Thank you.
Is there any additional questions? Item E, Women's Place of South Niagara grant. Page 19 to 20. Mayor Redicott?
Do we know if the regional government, through one of its departments, provides any funding to Women's Place?
I don't know who to defer that question to.
No, we would have to look into that.
Oh. I'm sorry, the budgets are submitted to... Thank you. If we could get that, I'd appreciate it.
Additional questions? Item F, Ridgeway BIA, Tree Pit Irrigation, page 21 to 22. Any questions? I just want to see what my colleagues would like to do. It is about 20 to 10 now. Do we want to continue going, or do we want to carry over and defer until next week? Councillor Patero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My personal opinion is the general levy is always something best looked at in its entirety. We're pushing quarter to 10 now, and there's no way we'll get there. So I think the information presented tonight has been great. Let's let it sink in for a week and then reconvene.
Okay. Are you going to motion to defer? Okay.
I'd make the. I would allow my councillor Chris Nutt to make that motion. Motion to adjourn. 6 p.m.
All in favor? That carries.